world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Well, it is The Drive. It has been other things along the journey of my life. And a lot of you who have been listening for years know that for about 9.5 years and 10 minutes and 45 seconds, I was Car and Driver Radio. And it was perhaps the best 9.5 years, 45 minutes and 10 seconds of my life. And on the line is the editor-in-chief of Car and Driver Magazine, Eddie Alterman. How you doing, Eddie?
Great. It's good to be on the line with you again.
Yes. You know, we should do this more often because as you know, this show is maintained about 100 radio stations around the country and around the world. I have audiences in all different parts of the world. By the way, Jonathan Radville in London, England, thank you for the, he just endorsed me or something on LinkedIn. So, I mean, it's funny. I get to know these people because of the communications that we have, because we are in a world of communication these days. And radio, right. The original social media radio is still alive and well and plugging away. And for those 9 years, and listen, I got to work with you. It seemed like you were about a year. You were about a year there when you guys got bought by this new publishing house, which owns you right now, Hearst,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, about a year and a half. They bought us, actually about 2 years.
Were you there?
They started in the middle of 2009, and they acquired us in the middle of 2011.
That's right.
No, it's been great here. This is a fantastic company, and they really support their people, and they support their products, and they're big believers in our brand.
It scared the hell out of me, and I peeled off, and I jumped out of the frying pan into the fire, and here I still in the fires of life, and you have sailed off into the sunset.
Well, you like it there.
We do. Well, speaking of fire and lightning, let's talk about the lightning lap. You guys have been doing this for a long time at VIR.
And, yeah, this is our ninth year going down there.
Yeah.
Danville, Virginia. Kind of on the North Carolina border down there.
Yep.
So performance car country.
Tell the world what the Lightning Lap is and what you guys are trying to achieve by doing this every year for the last 9 years.
Yeah, so Lightning Lap is our chance to put street cars on the track. And so we'll take 20 or 25, depending on the year, of the hottest street machines and see what they can do at VIR. And we go to VIR because it's so challenging, so technical, it's so big, and it's so fast that it really tests a car's dynamic integrity. And, you know, at Car and Driver, that's kind of what we're about. You know, there are manufacturer claims, and then there are our claims. And we try to test those claims as often and as thoroughly as possible. So Lightning Lap lets us know, hey, you know, here's a supercar, but can it hold up on the track? What do its tires do? Does it overheat? You know, what happens to the brakes? Do those go away? So this is really a very rigorous, extreme test, and we come up with a lot of surprises.
Well, it's interesting, you know, because as I am about to buy what I guess I'm going to hope that you guys would consider a supercar, a new Viper, Dodge Viper ACR.
Absolutely a supercar.
Yeah, well, thank you. And 10 years ago, let's say 9 years ago when you guys started doing this, those problems you just talked about were prevalent. I mean, they were happening, and people would spend $150,000, $200,000, $300,000, $500,000 on a car and go, oh, crap, I'm out here on the track now having a little fun with my car, but it's overheating. Well, yeah.
Right.
You know, that's a flaw.
Brake fail. We've had a kind of, you know, and part of our job, our mission is really to find out stuff that nobody, maybe even the manufacturer, knows about their cars. And Lightning Lap has been a great crucible for that. And the cars that do well are the reliable ones, generally.
Right. Well, and, you know, and of course, with the racing world, the people that are into racing and they watch the 24 hours of, you know, Le Mans or whatever it is going to be, even Daytona or any of these races that are endurance races, they get to see which cars hold up and which cars don't quite do so well. And of course, you know, I've got to watch along the years and enjoy as I see that, you know, the people at Car and Driver, the editors, are true car guys and gals and do take things to the limits and beyond, like the regular folks that spend their money on these vehicles. And we'll find out more about the Lightning Lap from Car and Driver's editor-in-chief Eddie Alterman right here on The Drive right after this. Stay with us. Right on the wall. Brad Jackson, the world's greatest collector car auction, returns to Las Vegas, Nevada, September 24th through the 26th. Hundreds of the most sought-after, unique, and valuable automobiles will once again cross the auction block. Be part of the three-day lifestyle event and energy that is Barrett Jackson, and the only way you're going to know is to show up. It's coming soon to the Mandalay Bay Event Center in Las Vegas, Nevada. Don't forget, tickets are available at BarrettJackson.com. That's BarrettJackson.com. Well, you're listening to The Drive. I'm Alan Taylor. Our show brought to you in part by Craftsman, America's most trusted tool brand, made to make Craftsman tools. So we're talking with my pal Eddie Alterman. He is the editor-in-chief, the luckiest guy in the world, editor-in-chief of Car and Driver magazine, my favorite magazine. I've worked for both. And let me just tell you, if I had to make a choice right now, although I love the Buff books, my favorite of all time is Car and Driver, and I have a feeling that'll be the way it is until, of course, Eddie Alterman dies, and because I don't know what comes next after that, right?
Neither do I.
You know, and I have followed your career, and it was funny because you and I had that conversation one day at a trade show, like, dude, you should be the editor-in-chief. You should have your own radio show. You should do this. And it's like, because, I mean, you're one of those kind of guys that you're the real deal, Eddie. And that's, first of all, for all us thank you for what you guys do with that magazine, because it's the truth. I mean, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. It can't be bought, and it's just, you know, it's not like me. I mean, yeah, it's a magazine. listen, radio's tough. You know that. Radio. It's like, I got to be the voice. Remember when it's like Rush Limbaugh, the guy, you know, it's like he's talking about mattresses and he's talking about Snapple, and it's like, dude, get somebody else to do those commercials. You know, yeah, same deal.
Vermont Teddy Bear.
You know, exactly. It's like humiliating, but at least I have good sponsors.
It's so media saturated, this moment that we find ourselves in, that everybody's got to hustle, you know?
I know.
Even established brands.
Yep.
And it's tough out there.
So back to Lightning Lap. You guys, when is the magazine coming out with the whole Lightning Lap story in it?
It went on sale yesterday.
Okay, so it's out there, everybody. Lightning Lap, if you guys are interested in the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth about supercars and what you're going to eventually someday, like me, I'm literally, my Viper ACR is being built right now. I did a one-of-one. I did a kind of a pearly white. I'm going to take delivery sometime right around SEMA, you know, which is November time. And, you know, I'm going to start living this wild and crazy life. And I want to start going to racetracks and getting back into what I started 25 years ago, which was, you know, going out to the Gymkhana course and with my bug-eyed Sprite, right? That was all I could afford.
That's what it's about.
Yeah. And so today, you know, you can take these rocket ship or these aircraft without wings. They're actually, the wing holds it to the ground, but is it reliable?
It's the opposite of an aircraft.
Exactly. Plane. And is it reliable? Can I take that car to the store and get my groceries and take it around the racetrack and come home with the blue ribbon?
You know, it used to be the only car that you could really do that with was the 911. You could drive it to the track, you could drive the pants off it, and then you could maybe change tires and take it home. But now, so many cars have that kind of a dynamic integrity and that reliability and those high, high limits. And car makers are testing for that stuff now. You know, there's this thing called the 24 hours of GM. GM puts, you know, its Camaros, all its performance cars, through really, really rigorous testing. And also, as you mentioned before, you know, endurance racing, you know, Corvettes have been dominant at Le Mans.
Right.
911s have been at Le Mans, you know, for a very, very long time, and they're really still a very popular GT car there. And last year, Porsche 919 won straight up in the P1 category. So, I mean, that's really where they learn a lot of the endurance details, and some of the kind of fidelity of the car comes from those really, really extreme racing experiences. And VIR is one of those kind of crucibles. And our Lightning Lap, it's not quite Le Mans, it's not 24 hours, but it's tough.
So can we kind of talk a little bit, got about 2 minutes till the next commercial, so I want to get in there. What cars were in the Lightning Lap this year? You said there was 20 or 25. Just roll through some of them.
Okay, well, we started with, you know, the Miata, kind of the bottom LL1, sub-$35,000 car. But then, you know, we had the Ford Mustang EcoBoost and the V8. We had the new Mini Cooper hardtop. We had the VW GTI again this year. We had the VW Golf R and the Audi S3, which are very similar cars in a lot of ways. Alfa Romeo's 4C, the Cadillac ATS-V sedan, the Lexus RCF coupe, the Mercedes-AMG C63S, incredible car, ATS-V coupe as well as the sedan, I think I said. Cadillac CTS-V, another mind blower. Corvette Z06 with the Z07 package. Mercedes-AMG GTS. 911 GT3, a great, great track vehicle. Lamborghini Huracan, the LP610-4. And then another supercar, McLaren 650S Spider.
I didn't hear my Viper in there. What's going on?
Well, we'll get the Viper next year. We'll get the ACR next year.
Okay, fair enough. All right, hold tight. We've got to take another little commercial break here. We're talking about what is called the Lightning Lap from Car and Driver magazine. The most diverse grouping of cars I think I've ever heard from Car and Driver. Wouldn't you think? I mean, that's from a Miata all the way up to, you know, some of those wild things you just talked about.
It's not your regular comparison test.
Yeah, no question about it. Again, Eddie Alterman, he is the editor and chief of Car and Driver, one of the greatest car magazines on the newsstands ever in the history of the world. Stay with us. You're listening to The Drive, brought to you in part by Brembo. Again, the choice of champions. We'll be right back.
Get some heavy rest. Never have to worry about what is worse or what is best.
For fast, powerful, and portable ratcheting without a power cord or air hose, pick up the Craftsman C3 19.2-volt Max Access Auto Ratchet. The ratchet head delivers up to 420 inch-pounds of torque at 225 RPMs, enough power to turn just about any stubborn fastener quickly. The pass-through design eliminates the need for deep sockets and lets you tighten and loosen long bolts fast, even in tighter workspaces. Craftsman, made to make. Available at Craftsman.com, Sears.com, Sears, Sears Hometown, and Sears Hardware Stores.
I get knocked down, but I get up again. You're never gonna keep me down. I get knocked down, but I get up again. You're never gonna keep me down. I get knocked down.
Well, our show is brought to you in part by Bridgestone, and they're passionate about making tires you can count on to perform when it matters most. Like when you're on the lightning lap at the Virginia International Raceway with a bunch of Car and Driver editors behind the wheel. We're talking with Eddie Alterman. He is the editor-in-chief of Car and Driver magazine, my favorite car magazine, and I spent 9.5 years there and made perhaps one of the biggest mistakes of my life and left.
We had a lot of fun, didn't we?
Yes, we did. We listen, we can work together just like this. It's just, nothing changes. I just don't get a paycheck. I actually earn more money now. It's all good. It's all good. Listen, I love you guys. I love every one of the guys and gals that I see along the road. And you guys are always, and gals again, are always ladies and gentlemen and have always treated me with great respect. And I try and do the same. And I have no reason not to because you guys have earned it. And that is,
to
me,
feeling is mutual.
Thank you very much.
Feeling is mutual, man.
So the lightning lap, again, this is an important test for those out there who aspire not only to have a supercar, but some of the most basic cars. Like I drove the Mazda Miata. They call it the MX-5, but Mazda Miata, what the rest of the world basically knows it as. This is a wonderful machine. More people race the Mazda Miata on little racetracks around the world than any other car I think ever made. Am I right or am I getting close?
Right. Yeah. It's the most raced car. And it's not because it's so fast, but because it's so fun.
Yes. So that's kind of what this is all about, is what these cars are capable of. And you probably have some kind of a rating system, and that's what the story is going to be all about, is which ones did the best. Maybe can you walk us through a little of this, and people can go pick up the magazine and read the rest of the story.
So Lightning Lap is different than a straight-up comparison test. First, because it's not comparing cars in the same segment. It's going across segments to see, you know, what's new and cool and hot this year. And we go by price tiers instead of kind of traditional segments. But we boil down all their performance, and this is also different than a Comparo that we do in the magazine. We boil down their performance to just one number instead of that huge list of final results numbers. And that one number is their lap time. So the car with the fastest lap wins. Mm. And this year we had an incredible surprise. Incredible surprise.
Are you going to share it? Can I guess?
I will.
Okay, can I guess? Is it an American car?
Yes, it is.
Oh, my gosh. See, now I got to tell you something. That makes me laugh and smile and just feel giddy all over because this lightning lap, I mean, it's probably been dominated by the Germans or anybody else other than the American cars for years. And all of a sudden, we've got an American at the top.
Well, Vipers and Corvettes have done well, and not coincidentally, those are the cars that race in France at that big 24-hour race.
Right.
But, you know, the European heritage brands have dominated, and the fastest car we ever took to VIR, and actually the quickest car we've ever tested in the history of the magazine, is the Porsche 918.
Right.
But the second fastest car we've ever done at VIR was this year's winner, the Corvette Z06 with the Z07 package and all the pinwheels and dancing girls and everything.
Right.
You know, all the aerodynamic aids and everything you could throw at it, the cup tires, everything.
I love
it. And it was just amazing out there.
Look, I'm so happy. As an American, I mean, I love all cars, but I love that these guys, and after what GM and Chrysler and even, you know, Ford, after what these companies have been through in the last decade, to have them dominating and doing so well and creating such beautiful designs and all of the stuff that us car people love and, you know, still continuing with the Corvette. Corvette is, come on, I mean, it's like, what a bang for the buck and has been for so many years.
Exactly.
Congrats to the folks at General Motors for the Corvette winning this, of course. But I now want to know along the way, who are some of the other top contenders to this? Because this is amazing stuff, right? With Cadillacs doing well like that.
Well, the top five, I can run them down for you. Top five starts with the Mercedes AMG GTS.
Yes.
I don't know if you've gotten behind the wheel of this car, but it's spectacular.
No, I've drooled over it, though. Believe me, it's a beautiful car, too.
It's beautiful. It's really out there to take a swatch out of the 911's hide. And Mercedes-AMG has really gotten its act together. And cars like the C63 are really high-integrity, great, great performance machines. But the GTS is really special. It looks fantastic. It's got this really cool engine and transaxle mounting system that helps the car tuck into turns. It's very agile, really nimble.
And considerably affordable, too, by the way.
Well, I mean, you know, the sweet spot used to be around 80 grand for, you know, a high-end sports car. That's sort of moved up to 100, 120.
Right.
But still, affordable compared to, you know, the Lamborghinis and Ferraris and McLarens of the world.
Right. Well, then that's what I'm comparing them to, by the way, is the other what we'll call supercars. I mean, this is affordability at a whole other level, I guess, if you're considering what you'd have to spend before you went from 100 to 250 to 400, you know, and
right.
Now you can go just a little above 100 and really end up with something that is spectacular. Anyway, I got about another minute left. Give me those other four.
Okay. Fourth place, 911 GT3, track bred, 475 horsepower, naturally aspirated, incredible machine.
Nice.
Then we get into the legit supercar arena, 250 grand for the Huracan in third place. Second place, McLaren 650S at $300,000, but the hometown hero won.
Yeah.
100 grand. Get you out the door with a new Z06 with the Z07 package.
Unbelievable. The lightning lap. Eddie Alterman, Car and Driver magazine. You can read all about it in this month's issue of Car and Driver on newsstands around the world. Dominating. Congratulations, brother. You guys are kicking butt.
Thanks, buddy.
All right. We'll take a little break. I yearn to be back in the seat of the Car and Driver world. So the best I can do is have my pal on the show whenever we can get him. All right, we're going to take a break. It is The Drive, and BJ and the gang will be back in the house with me right after this. You're listening to The Drive. On the track, even 1/100th of a second decides who wins and who loses. That's why Bridgestone uses advanced racing technology to create their fastest street-legal replacement tire yet. The new Bridgestone Potenza RE71R. Engineered with an innovative hydro-evacuation surface and unique tread compounds, the new Potenza RE71R is designed to give you maximum grip and ultimate cornering on or off the track. Bridgestone is changing the game in tire performance. Back. It is The Drive. I'm Alan Taylor. That was some funky music, wasn't it? BJ Colleen is now in the house. BJ, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
You know what? I miss being at Car and Driver. I will tell you. I'll just admit it right out loud. I left because the magazine was being sold to another magazine group, and it was like the devil I know or the devil I don't know. I started with Motor Trend like you did.
Yep.
And I left there because that was pure insanity. And I went to Car and Driver, and it was wonderful. And then I left there because they were being sold, and then Motor Trend wanted me back, so I went there, and then that was pure insanity. And I'm like, oh, God, I remember why I left, so I left again. But I will say, I miss being with Car and Driver. They were a great group of people. Anyway, so much for that. Eddie Alterman's a great guy. Bob Gritzinger is on the line. Speaking of great guys, time to get down and ditty with Mr. Gritty. How you doing, Gritz? You there?
I am so glad to hear your voice. It's like, it's a beautiful thing. And well, not to take anything away from BJ, but, you know, the melodious tone of Alan Taylor wafting into my, you know, oral cavity there.
The oral cavity? So I'm talking
it's
into your...
It's too early for that, Gritz.
Into your ear cavity.
Okay, so Gritz, every time we talk to you, you have another job, right? So you jump ship again,
yep.
Right?
Yeah. No,
well,
we all do,
been,
though. We all do.
You know, it's been like 2.5 years since the great out-of-week purge of 2013, and I've done a lot of freelancing, and, you know, kudos, and I love my friends from AutoWeb and B-Car Chic. But the boy has finally landed in a new full-time job again. Just started this week with Ward's Auto here in Michigan. Highly respected 80-year-old automotive publication. Really pro staff. And I'm just really geeked to be a part of great automotive journalism.
You know, so, Fritz, I'm going to be honest. You know, I know Ward's Automotive, but I mostly know them for giving out their engine awards, and I'm sure that they do much more than that. So,
yeah, well, explain first of all to the world, you know, who Ward's is, because I always thought it was Montgomery Ward's.
And, yeah, right. Yeah, which know. Turned into like Circuit City or something, right?
Yeah, and that's gone too. So.
Yeah, I mean, they are like an automotive news on steroids. They are an information center that is for and about the global auto industry. And so their primary thing is a ton of data. You know, you want to know what the take rate was on manual transmissions in this car in this market, they can tell you. It's pretty amazing what they have in terms of data. So we can use all of that to write stories and
hold on
and
a
then,
second.
You know, cover the industry.
Let me find out exactly what Ward's is. Hold on.
There you go.
What's Ward's Automotive? Let's find
WardsAuto.com.
Wait,
there you
go. What's Ward's Automotive?
Okay. Oh, look at that. Yeah, see, Siri always knows.
Oh,
there
yeah.
we go.
Yeah. Ask her where Jimmy Hoffa is.
Hold on a second. Where's Jimmy Hoffa?
Oh.
Hold on.
Checking my sources.
Oh, yeah? Let's see what we got here.
Here's some information.
Okay. Oh, very. Yeah. There we go. See, so what more do you need than Siri? We don't need this radio show.
Hey, so Gritz, what are you going to be doing at Ward's, though?
Well,
so, I mean, you're not compiling.
I'm really, you know, the cool thing for me, I think, is I get out of being a manager and a high-level editor, and I'm back to being a go-out-and-dig-up-the-news guy, which has always been my forte.
So, here's what I picture, by the way.
Content producer, right?
There you go.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, people need to know. You actually used to be the kind of reporter that would go to when somebody gets murdered. You're the reporter they would send out, and you would kind of cover that story. And I love that about you, an investigative reporter. And and then you got into the car business and started smiling, and everybody went, oh, okay. Because the job you had before was not nearly as fun, obviously, as working and playing with cars. So
right, yeah. I'm not sure what's more dangerous, but no.
Especially you ride with me.
You're right. I was covering, you know, crime and violence and, you know, ugly things in the world for a big chunk of my career, and then transitioned into automotive and spent 13 years at Auto Week, left there as an executive editor,
reading every word that went into the print publication, you know, and so.
So all the spell check and all that was all your problem if it was spelled wrong.
Exactly. So it didn't happen on my watch, no.
All right, so let's talk about something important, Ducks versus Spartans, right? I mean, the Frankfurt Auto Show.
Yeah, I was going to say you're jumping ahead of me. Frankfurt, yeah. So I hit the ground at Ward's on Thursday. And tomorrow I'll be in a plane headed for Frankfurt with my friends from Continental, who will show us any number of things that are still under embargo, and I can't really talk about them. But I just went yesterday to see some technology from a company called Tula out there in California. These are like eggheads who do electronics and microchips and things like that. And they have partnered with Delphi on this thing they call dynamic skip fire. So think of cylinder deactivation on a random basis.
So, I mean, purely fuel consumption, or is it emissions?
Fuel economy. 17% gain in a V8.
Wow.
17%. Yeah.
So basically, I imagine it goes like this. The computer is analyzing how much or whether or not the cylinder or cylinders need spark to keep the vehicle going at that speed, and it just deactivates randomly. Is that kind of
exactly? Well, okay. It's not so much random is probably not the precise word, because it carefully chooses which cylinders to deactivate so that there isn't, a total harmonic imbalance in the engine.
Random was the word my favorite. That's random,
looks,
right?
when you watch the graphic of it occurring as you're driving a vehicle down the road, it looks random. Right. Three cylinders over here, two there, one there.
We're going to get run over by a commercial here, brother. Don't go anywhere. We're talking with the great, the mighty Bob Gritzinger from Ward's now, Ward's Auto. I've always heard about the Engine Award that they give out, which is a very prestigious award. I'm not sure why they've hired this man, but, it was their choice. And, I got the evil eye from...
Be nice. We like Gritz.
He's the best. We'll be right back. Bob, you know I love you, man. You know I love you. You know I love you. You know I love you.
There may have never been a roaring 20s if not for John and Horace Dodge. And that roar has only gotten louder over time, thanks to the Dodge Challenger and Charger RT Scat Pack Editions. 6.4-liter Hemi V8, 485 horsepower, and 475 pound-feet of torque. That's some thunder. And if you listen closely, you can almost hear the Dodge brothers. It sounds like they're still having a pretty good time. Dodge, their spirit lives on. Dodge and Hemi are registered trademarks of FCA US LLC.
Well, you're listening to The Drive all across America and around the world, thanks to the interweb. This show is a little bit crazy, lots of fun, very honest. We're not sure why we're here, actually, because... nobody's ever checked our credentials.
Where are we?
Jared, the producer. Jared, I have his microphone open just in case he wants to talk.
Oh, brother, that's dangerous.
He doesn't bite very hard. Bob Gritzinger's on the line now from Ward's Auto. Again, we're trying to figure out why they've hired him.
They do 10 best engines. They also do 10 best interiors. And a lot of interiors of cars best.
No, that's not what I'm looking for. What I'm looking for is why they hired you.
As opposed to what?
Right.
I was looking for a job. Why didn't they hire me?
Because they're smart and they can recognize good talent. That's why. So 10 best interiors. I've always liked 10 best interiors. I always think it's cool to see what they pick. So, because there's some pretty cool interiors. You know, the XC90, I've been reading up on the new Volvo.
And, I drove that. It was delightful.
One of their models, I think it's the inscription, has an Aura4's gear shift lever, crystal from Sweden. That goes in the good interiors list.
So. No, that was
well, and
very
then there's,
cool.
Then there's this sweet little Swedish flag tie, kind of like a Levi pants tag on the seat stitching. As you look around into your back seat, you catch this little flag sticking out. Very cool.
grits too. They're called Easter eggs, aren't they? Little things like that,
yeah.
Egg, and you know Chrysler's really big into doing those too. And I think it's kind of fun that
Easter eggs. What? Huh?
Easter egg. You know what Easter egg is? It's something that's
like
kind
to go
of
Easter egg hunting.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's like
what
the little
is.
Jeep that's in the bottom edge of the corner of the windshield.
The Renegade,
yeah.
Or the little, I found one in the Hellcat. There's actually in that windshield surround.
Oh.
There's a little picture of one there, too. So it's kind of cool. I mean, to be able to, I mean, you can't find them all. And I asked Dan Reed from Chrysler, hey, where are the rest of them? And he wouldn't even tell me. So, you know, Easter eggs you got to find on your own, I guess. So.
Yeah.
And it's something
kind of
cool.
It's sort of like easy things to add often. Probably
yes.
Doesn't cost them much, and it's just cool. You know, it's neat stuff that people love about their vehicle.
I'm driving a Volvo right now, although I don't even know what model, make, or brand it is. It's a Volvo, that's all.
It's
a Volvo
V60. It's a Volvo V60.
Yeah, it's an Easter egg car.
Yeah, you actually don't even know what it's called because it.
Anyway, but the producer is supposed to have the info sheet for me here. He's sitting right here.
Wait, aren't you the automotive journalist? Why is the producer supposed to know what car
he's
driving?
They drop it off, and I get in it and drive it 1,000 miles. That's my game. Don't you know that?
How can you drive a car 1,000 miles and not know what you're driving?
Well, I know it's a Volvo.
He thought it was a Jeep the whole time.
Maybe you need to read Ward's Automotive so you can see.
I will now get
there
a free subscription to Ward. Is it a magazine?
We'll
what is this?
website, monthly and weekly newsletters. They came out of being an automotive industry newsletter and grew into what they are now. And mostly it's, you know, starting first with the web and the website, which is...
Hold on.
You know,
Ward's
super
Automotive.
Informative. So.
I'm going to it right now. Ward's Auto Repair, 130 Railroad Avenue, Monrovia, California.
No, that's
that?
Not the one.
Oh, sorry.
You want wardsauto.com.
Oh, you didn't say that. You said Ward's Auto, A-R-D-S.
So, Grits, are they headquartered in Detroit?
Yeah, we're in Southfield. Yep. So,
Daily news, data, and statistics. WardsAuto.com. Okay, let's find the Volvo I'm driving. Anyway, point is, I got in this car, which I love to do because you know what? It's almost like a blind taste test, right?
Yeah.
I don't even know. I look out the window and I go, oh, we got a Volvo this week, right? I look out the window and that's about it. Hold on. Jared's giving me the info right now. 2015 Volvo V60 T5 2.5 all-wheel drive wagon, right? $37,450. 29 miles to the gallon highway, 250 horsepower. That's not Ward driving. If that thing's got 250 horsepower, that's not what I'm driving. That is not 250 horsepower. It's more like 100.
Let's back up. Did you say it's a
V60?
That's key.
Yeah. Well, anyway, point is, I get out. I get in the car, I should say. I go outside, I get in the car, and I literally drive it to L.A., and that's what we did. And I got to say, this Volvo's doing it right. They've got interior down really nice. I mean, comfortable seats. The drive, I drove all the way. You know, I mean, it's like 11 hours, whatever we drove. Very comfortable. The fuel consumption was really good. I don't even know what it was quite yet.
25 the whole way.
Huh?
25 the whole way.
Are you sure? Did you look?
Yeah, positive.
Whatever it was, of course, we haul ass, right? The point is that if you do this in cars and somebody says, what is this? And you go, I don't know, but it's nice. There is what you really want to know about. Because then from there, I go out and I go, all right, what is it I like about this thing I'm driving? So I have kind of a reverse engineering way of doing cars. I don't research them and do all that stuff in advance. I get in it and drive it. And then I go, man, whatever that was, I liked it. Then I don't care whether it's American, German, you know, Japanese, Chinese, whatever the heck it is. It's whatever it is. I liked it. Oh, man, she's yelling in my ear. You guys can't hear that. She's like, hurry up, take a break. All right, Bob, don't go anywhere. Talking to Bob Gritzinger from WardsAuto.com. They give out some pretty good engine awards at Ward's. Not Montgomery Ward's. It's Ward's Auto. BJ, you're being awful quiet today. It ain't right. Making my job a lot harder. Supposed to be. I know what's missing. We got no Dick here. There's no Dick. It's just BJ. We'll be right back. Dick will be back next week. Where does the love for a car come from? If the car is a Subaru Legacy, the answer would be the symmetrical all-wheel drive. Power goes to all four wheels all the time for optimum grip.
The Subaru Boxer engine's lower center of gravity makes the Subaru Legacy more responsive around corners and gets better fuel economy than front-wheel drive competitors. What you have then is a midsize sedan with grip, handling, and enviable fuel economy. It's no wonder it turns people into people who love cars. Love. It's what makes a Subaru a Subaru.
Music sounds bizarre today. I don't know why. I don't know what it is.
Strange. Sounds like it's in a tin can.
Yeah. It's weird. It's as loud as it'll go. Technical difficulties.
It sounded better earlier.
I know. I might have to reboot the computer.
Uh-oh.
You're listening to The Drive all across America. Our show is brought to you by Bridgestone. They're passionate about making tires you can count on to perform when it matters most. Bridgestone Tires. I'm Alan Taylor. BJ Colleen is right here in the house from... Where you want to be from this week?
Oh, it doesn't matter. Car Buzzard's fine.
CarBuzzard.com. And Bob Gritzinger's here this week. He's from Ward's Auto.
This week, yeah, yeah. He says he's sticking around, but, you know, the past hasn't proved that, so we'll see. We'll see.
Bob, how you doing, brother? Listen, we really are happy for you. That's a,
yeah,
it's a good company. It's a company that has a lot of prestige.
Very well respected. And
yeah, we still don't know why they've hired you, but, you know, listen, I mean, it'll prove out somewhere along the way.
I am really happy to have landed there, believe me.
Yeah, no, I'm all kind, you know it.
It's been a haul to get to this point, but I'm really looking forward to working with these guys.
Well, nobody needs to know your personal stuff, so stop topping up.
Wait a minute, I thought that's what this show was all about.
Wait, so let's talk about Frankfurt. So what do you expect to see there? What's going on there?
You know, their big deal is the new mobility, you know. So where have we heard this before? Kind of everywhere.
Everywhere.
Yeah. So the new mobility, the digital evolution, the, you know, Bentley will roll out new bespoke stuff. There'll be a Rolls Royce. There'll be, you know, it's the Frankfurt show.
It's the weird show. I know, believe me. It's the weird world show.
You know, 20 minutes from, you know, walking from one end to the other.
20? What are you, on a skateboard? Yeah, it's more like an hour and 20 minutes.
I mean, I think I've done it in 20, but, you know,
okay,
throw that clothes in the dumpster after that. But
I know, yes, because it's sweaty. It's like they don't believe in ice. They don't believe in air conditioning. I don't know what's going on over there. Yesterday was September 11th. For a moment,
Correct.
Let's pay homage to that whole situation. That was a bad deal. It was 14 years ago. It's like there's so many people get irritated and aggravated by the fact that a lot of people are posting never forget, so on and so forth. I get it. I was in Frankfurt, Germany.
I was there as
September
well.
September 11th. Yeah. It was a scary time. Who were you there with?
I was there with Hyundai at the time. And, I mean, there's nothing like being on the other side of the pond from your family and realizing that your country is under attack.
Right. It was scary. I was there with Volvo and Dan Johnston, who is now a dear friend from Volvo, retired from Volvo, makes surfboards, by the way, wooden surfboards.
Beautiful
amazing.
Surfboards.
Yeah, beautiful stuff.
But Dan says to me, let's get the hell out of here because we're in Germany and the world is under war, right? We jumped in a car. And he and one other guy, Henry, and we drove. We were going to drive to Switzerland. We thought, let's get the hell out of here. Let's go. And we started driving and driving and driving. And then we didn't say a word. We were just like in total
shock.
So we finally, it's like, you know, Dan says, you hungry? Yeah, I'm hungry. We stopped along the River Rhine at this little tiny little town in Germany, you know, way out in the middle of nowhere. And we had lunch. And I was standing there looking at a window at a watch. And Dan Johnston from Volvo comes up next to me and he goes, what are you looking at? And I go, that watch right there. And he goes inside and he buys me that watch.
What?
And he said, here. He goes, "This we'll never forget this day."
Wow.
And I want to tell you, it's true. I mean, it's like that moment in time, it was a life changer for all of us. But for me, I now don't, it's like I don't want to go to the Frankfurt Auto Show. And that's why I'm not going. You know, a lot of people are there. A lot of people are in Goodwood right now for
just
the
bad memories
festival.
And things like that.
Yeah, it's just like it's trauma.
But
for
you're
me,
right.
So.
It is a damper. It's one of the reasons that it's not my favorite show on the planet because it does evoke some
bad, you know, deep down bad memories, bad feelings.
Bad juju.
Where, you know, sorry for the show, it's not their fault, but
right, exactly.
You know, but it's just, I get there and I have that, it's almost like a sense of dread or something.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and it's not going to go away.
Bob Gritzinger,
in my lifetime.
I want you to know that Josh Hancock's in the next hour, and he's just brought BJ a moon pie.
That's right.
And I believe it's in celebration of your job at Ward's Auto. Oh, he gave me one.
You a moon pie, too.
Look at that. Since 1917, moon pie chocolate, the original marshmallow sandwich.
How come there isn't one sitting here for me?
I'm going to FedEx this to you with a bite missing.
You have a real job now. You can afford to buy your own moon pies.
Right. Bob Gritzinger, everybody. Bob, have a good day. Thank you, my friend. Congratulations.
Hey, go green. We never talked about those ducks.
And we're not going to. It's not a sports show. It's all about cars. We'll take a break for some news and come back with more of The Drive. Brought to you in part by Subaru. Love, it's what makes a Subaru a Subaru. Stay with us. Haynes manuals are now available in online format for all electronic devices. With Haynes Manual Online, you get all the trusted content of the Haynes printed manual. Added features include the ability to enlarge every color photo, a keyword search function, and a detailed troubleshooting section. There are over 180 car, truck, and motorcycle online manuals to choose from, with more being added every day. Go to Haynes.com and enter your make, model, and year to find the Haynes online manual for your vehicle. You can do it for yourself. Let Haynes Manuals Online show you how.
Exclusive interviews, real-world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Well, hey, everybody. How's it going? Thanks for joining us. We hope that you're ready for a raucous bunch of moon pie eating fools.
We got moon pies. Josh brought us moon pies.
That's BJ Killeen from Car Buzzard. Buzzards like moon pies. Carbuzzard.com. And then there's Josh from Josh Carr. Josh Hancock evidently likes moon pies. Bought a whole bag of them. Hi, Josh.
Good morning, crew.
And then there's Jared Alexander, who... Jared, are you sure that's not a 2016 Volvo we're driving and not a 2015?
Well,
no comment on the moon pies. There you go. He's not a moon pie loving guy.
I saw that car on the way in. I didn't realize.
Oh, you know
it
what? This
yours.
Is a cross country. This is not just a V60. This is a cross country. Do you understand what that is?
Oh, yeah.
That's raised up a little bit. It's got more ground clearance.
Well, I was asking. Asked him which car, and he's like, "Oh, it's just some wagon."
This is a unique vehicle.
It's a W50.
Cross countries are only doing for the S model and for the V model, and it's got about almost 8 inches of ground clearance to make it a little bit more
easy
to drive.
I think it's a great vehicle because we've lost, you know, we lost the all-road. The all-road now doesn't have a height adjustment, and it's based on the A4, where it used to be based on the A6 with air suspension.
Yep.
At that time, I was consulting with Audi. It was my favorite car.
Yeah, the all-road was a pretty nice vehicle. Right. It's sad.
And by the way, the new one is nice looking.
Yeah.
And it's not selling.
Because it doesn't do what it was supposed to be doing.
You know, it came out kind of strong, and then people realized they're paying a lot of money for a look, and it really did well in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. But the rest of the country is like, wait a minute, I'm paying this much?
Yeah.
And then you start looking around at what you can buy.
Yeah.
Not that it's not a great vehicle. It is.
Mm-hmm.
But it's expensive.
I'm driving it.
Well, you know what, Alan? This is Volvo has their models are 2015.5.
That's
what this is. So there's not a 2016 yet, but they're like a half year where they did a lot of changes and things like that.
I'm a Volvo fan. I will say it now that I've had great experiences with their products through the years.
And I like them too, and they're just getting better, actually.
Yeah, they are.
I have a complaint to lodge with my audience. Josh is too loud on this show. Is there some way we can fix this?
Home and do it over the phone. That would be fun. No moon pies, but I would be home.
Okay,
that
that's
would
it.
Not be fun for me.
You start yelling into the mic again. Last week you almost broke the internet with your yelling, okay?
right. Anyway. So what do you have to say about this car?
It's a nice car. I talked about it in the last hour. If you were here,
okay,
you would have heard all about
I'm
it.
I'm sorry, man. Great.
Anyway, another thing we did, which we work with Barrett Jackson, and they have posted on their Facebook page, which I suggest that you go check out because there is a Barrett Jackson coming up. It is September 24th through the 26th in Las Vegas at Mandalay Bay. But they posted on their Facebook page a video that we created with them for the Barrett Jackson Cup winner, which was the car that won $100,000 worth of stuff and money and engines and whatever else they give them. But this video is posted on their Facebook page, so if you want to see it, it's a couple of minutes long.
Andy Leach's car, his shop, and he's from the Car Factory, I believe. And Andy Leach actually started off working at Troy Trepanier's shop. So when you learn from the best, you create the best, and that really does make
a
difference.
But what I noticed in this, and if you guys watch this video, it's only like 2 minutes long. Point is that this guy took a 62 or 3 Impala, whatever it was, and it doesn't matter what car it is, because this is what I'm going to explain about it, is that he refined it. He shaved this and shaved that and tightened the lines on this and what he called tucked the bumpers in a little tighter. And the funny thing is, you look at this car and you go, why did that car win? What is it about that car that was so amazing? And it was all the little, tiny, little things that you would have never, ever thought of doing. Because when you're restoring a car, customizing a car, typically, okay, you bolt the taillights back on, you bolt the headlights back in, you know, after you've done all this body work and fancy paint jobs. But this guy, he shaved and made things fit better, the fit and finish on the car. Because remember, the old days, the cars, you could throw a cat through the gap between the door and the fender because the gaps were so huge. And he tightened up all these gaps. This car looked amazing. Check it out. Go to Barrett Jackson's Facebook page, and you'll see the video.
Those gaps used to be called pet doors on those old cars, right. And they were very handy. Nice. So don't knock it.
Your cat can get in and out of the car without opening the door. You're listening to The Drive. This is the kind of garbage you're going to hear. So if you don't like it, great time to turn the channel. But if you do, call us up, 800-510-TALK. And I don't know what we're going to talk about if you call us, but hey, give me a call. Tell me about your weather in your town. Or maybe not. We'll be right back. It is The Drive. Barrett Jackson, the world's greatest collector car auction, returns to Las Vegas, Nevada, September 24th through the 26th. Hundreds of the most sought-after, unique, and valuable automobiles will once again cross the auction block. Be part of the three-day lifestyle event and energy that is Barrett Jackson, and the only way you're going to know is to show up. It's coming soon to the Mandalay Bay Event Center in Las Vegas, Nevada. Don't forget, tickets are available at BarrettJackson.com. That's BarrettJackson.com. You are listening to The Drive, and I'm Alan Taylor. Josh Hancock's here, BJ Kalina. That's Josh. He's digesting a frog.
His moon pie.
Yeah, he brought some moon pies in this morning. A guy who does not know what a moon pie is on the line, all the way from London, England, or somewhere thereabouts, Michael McHale from Subaru. Michael McHale, do you know what a moon pie is?
No.
See, I knew it. It's not a British thing.
It looks like a cow pie, but it's not. It's something you eat, actually.
No, I don't even think you're allowed as a British person to eat a moon pie. So
I think it's a bit British myself.
Moon pie?
No.
Sure. No. In execution.
Let me tell you.
I mean, it would be something they would serve you with a tomato.
I know you've had this before, Josh, but do you know what spotted dick is, Josh?
No, I don't know.
See, he's
but
not.
But Michael would know that.
I'm half British, so I know what spotted
dick is. You can get cream for it. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. It's actually a dessert, and you can actually buy it.
It's right out there.
And it's actually funny. And I brought some spotted dick to your house one day.
Yes, you did.
Yeah.
Thank
and it's
you.
It sounds kind of nasty, but it is a dessert.
Good. Yeah, we eat it.
Well, what is it? Explain it.
This is a car show. Please, stay away from this subject.
Well, let's not waste Michael's time. We can
Michael,
explain
all
later
the way from
something.
London, England. What are you doing in England there, brother?
It's Goodwood Festival. It's not the festival. It's the revival, which is where everybody comes. And this is at Michael's 1925, and there's the signs flying overhead, and cars driving around, and, you know, Jochen Lasseter down there now driving the car, and Phil Redmond's out. It is crazy. place.
Crazy. I bet it's fun. Huh?
Man, you sound like you are on the moon. By the way, let's just change this. Calling from the moon is Mike McHale. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, any, one of those weird things.
This is the quietest place I could find.
It just sounds like you're talking
digitally
from the moon. Exactly.
He's in the bathroom.
I will not tell you exactly where I am.
We appreciate that.
So, what were you going to talk to him about?
Well, I wanted to have him on because, you know, I drove the Subaru XV Crosstrek, and it was an interesting vehicle to me. Number one, because it's a reasonable price. It's priced around $25,000. And one of the things about living in Southern California, Subaru vehicles we know do great everywhere, but they especially do well where there's inclement weather and snow, and we know that people love their Subarus and they have them for years. I don't get to test them in the snow out here. So I wanted to talk to Michael because
we want to talk to you about taking us to a place that has inclement weather.
Snow.
If that could be possible.
I don't want to go to the snow. Thank
I'm
you.
Sorry.
Thank you. No.
Go ahead.
But I wanted to know because Michael said in passing that this vehicle is really doing very well and it's very popular. So I wanted to hear from him talking a little bit about this Crosstrek, this XV, and why it's doing so well.
And we had to call him in London to hear this?
Yeah, I wanted to spend your money on it, so I'm okay with it. So.
She's a hard taskmaster. She told me I had to do this. So. You know, all of our cars are selling well right now, and part of that reason is that we're selling to new people. We're still selling to the old people. We have great loyalty, 60% loyalty, highest in the industry. But we're bringing in these new people because it always was the case that when you bought a Subaru before and you wanted all-wheel drive, there was some kind of compromise. You had to give up a little bit of fuel economy, a little bit of interior design, or, you know, a little bit of style on the outside. So it was always like, you know, okay, I really need all-wheel drive. I'm going to buy the Subaru, and that's your kind of mountain state. But I think, BJ, you might find now that even if you don't need all-wheel drive all the time, it's still a nice way to get around in a car. It's kind of, you know, 4 feet on the ground. Even if you don't need all-wheel drive all the time, you're not giving up anything anymore. There's no sacrifice. So I think the car's most looking car. The customers think so, too. Gets great gas mileage, highest gas mileage in its segment, 34 mm-hmm. And so people really like it. And it's our third bestseller now. It came from nowhere. And it's our third bestseller.
You know, it's funny because driving around Los Angeles, there's a phenomenon that we do as journalists that when you're driving a vehicle, you notice the other people driving the same vehicle.
Gotcha.
And when you don't usually notice it otherwise. And so when I was in the Subaru, yeah, in the XV, I'm looking around and I'm like, wow, there's a lot of people driving this car here.
Well, yeah, a lot of young people.
A lot of young people, yes.
I was going to say the
big
thing that
why
I think this vehicle is so successful, especially in Los Angeles, is the packaging, the colors, the wheels, they really got it right.
The colors,
and
for sure.
It really looks like a little specialized automobile. It's not plain at all.
Right.
A nice machine, and because he's calling all the way from London, England, which sounds like he's on the dark side of the moon, but has the same exact weather as London, England. We'll say goodbye to Mike McHale, our friend. Have fun there.
And we'll
there.
Get him back on when he's back in town.
When you come back to America, where you live, and you're not visiting family eating a bucket of spotted dick, we'll have you on the show again. We love you, man.
We love you.
Okay. Have fun.
Have fun
Thanks.
Out there. All right, Subaru is one of our sponsors, and we love their cars. Unquestionably nice machines. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Introducing the Craftsman Bolt-On Reciprocating Saw. This saw attachment comes with a 6-inch general-purpose blade and delivers enough power to cut through a variety of materials like drywall, PVC, and even small tree branches. The reciprocating saw attachment transforms the bolt-on base into a portable and versatile cutting beast. Tool-free blade changes make switching out accessory blades easier than ever. Construct your Craftsman Bolt-On system today. Craftsman, made to make. Available at Craftsman.com, Sears, Sears.com, Sears Hometown, and Sears Hardware Stores.
Well, you're listening to The Drive. It is the Morning Madhouse. We hope you're listening to it in the morning because our podcast could be played in the evening. In that case, it's the Evening Madhouse. A show brought to you in part by Haynes Automotive Repair Manuals, the information resource for the DIY enthusiast and the worldwide leader in automotive and motorcycle repair information for over 50 years. Haynes, H-A-Y-N-E-S.com. Haynes Automotive. And they do have these Josh, even though I know that you've never had grease on your hand or fingernails.
I'm sure he has.
In your life. Oh, look at what is that?
He's probably done more car work than you have.
He's got grease in his teeth.
No, you just made it so he has to tell the story about painting the Lamborghini. That was the doctor's car when he was 18.
When I was 19, thank you.
I apologize to the world.
All right, let's remember these triggers. Yeah. Let's remember the things we don't say.
Josh and I had fun this past weekend.
We did.
Hold on. Jim Resnick joining the morning madhouse here.
Run, Jim.
Jim, we found out that everybody trades places in this. It's the musical chairs of the auto industry. Where are you working today, Jim?
I'm actually at home today.
Who are you working for now? The musical chairs of the auto industry.
Oh, okay. I see what you mean. Yeah. Well, I sit in 5 different chairs. I just put down the list so I didn't forget any. Artist Technica, which is a Condé Nast site, sister site to Wired. Yep. Autoblog, Bold Ride, BBC Autos, and ClassicCars.com.
So good can't Lord. Hold a job, huh? I got you.
See, this is why BJ, very smart, decided, as we watch the industry die in the way that it has, being an automotive journalist, she decides to pick the one, Car Buzzard. So we can sit up in the tree.
We're going to pick the remains of everybody else.
I love that. That's what I love about it. CarBuzzard.com. And so as you guys out there in the auto industry, in the automotive journalism world, crawl along trying to find a morsel of food, we just simply feed on you.
We're waiting for the, that's right, for the carrion. We're waiting for the carrion.
And good morning to you, Mr. Resnick. How are you?
Yes. Speaking of nice. Buzzard, hi, Josh. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. Nice to speak to you.
Shut up with
PC crap. I cut his mic off. We don't need any more Obama on this show. Oh, God, I started it, didn't I?
Okay. If you want me to yell,
are you within the fun house there, Josh?
You know what?
Yes.
They have a shock collar on me, and I'm not allowed to say certain things.
Yeah,
I'm not allowed to say certain things, Jim. So I want to welcome you. And
so what are you here to talk about, Jim?
Yeah, what are you talking about today on the show?
Well, boy, whatever you guys want. But I just did my first piece for Autoblog, and it was on the noise that Sergio Marchionne is making in the overtures to merge or somehow fuse with General Motors. And
so why doesn't General Motors want to play with him?
Yeah, first of all, lay it out for the people that don't care about this, because it's kind of a weird deal.
It is a weird deal, and it's actually a little creepy. And I wrote so in my piece in Autoblog.
Yeah, he's stalking General Motors. He's kind of stalking General Motors, like you're going to date me whether you like it or not.
And these are two very large corporations, FCA, otherwise known as Fiat Chrysler Automobiles, which is the result of a merger between Chrysler, the former Chrysler Corporation, and Fiat, which is obviously based in Italy, but it's a global car company. And he's making overtures to GM that it is inevitable that they merge, because the piles of cash that would come in from profitability after they fuse all their operations will be unignorable, and unignorable to the marketplace and unignorable to the financial backers of both companies. He predicted somewhere on the order of $30 billion in revenue after the full realization of the merger, which I combed over a lot of analysts' data when I wrote this piece, and the most optimistic number that anybody with real credibility in the financial world came up with was $25 billion. But that ignores one fundamental flaw in the thinking, and that is that GM would not benefit at all from this merger. There's nothing that FCA brings to the table that GM doesn't already have, and already have in spades. They don't have, they already have a small car plan, global small car plan. They don't have any technology. FCA doesn't have any technology that GM doesn't already have. In fact, you could argue that GM has far greater engineering and technical know-how and capability than FCA.
Well, Jim, let me ask you a question then. Why is Mary Barra, the president of GM, not saying, hey, go stick it up your you-know-what, leave me alone? Because it seems like they haven't really said anything yet.
No, I think she's avoiding him kind of like a pretty girl avoids an ugly guy.
Well, Jim, no, to that point, hasn't she made an official statement that they're not interested?
Yeah. They have made an official statement that they're not interested.
All right, hold on. Here's the best part about this, and I believe that they should do this strongly. And I got to be very careful because I know that this...
No.
No, I'll tell you why. Right. Do you want to know why? Do you want to know why?
Go ahead.
I want you all to listen very carefully to this. Because you've got Ford and you've got GM and you've got Chrysler and you've got Fiat and you've got, you know, Aston Martin and Mercedes and BMW. What would you have if these guys got together? You'd have, and I'm going to say it carefully, Fagagum. FCA GM. Fagagum. What are you driving? I'm driving a Fagagum. Yeah.
So
see,
that's why.
Please, Jim, don't laugh at this point, and we'll get through it, and we will continue with the conversation because we don't really care what he does.
Okay, so Mary,
hold on, we got to take a break.
Oh man, we got to go back to this.
I want to see this merger. I'm driving a Fagagum. Yeah,
back
and
off your mic.
If you say it really, really fast, it sounds like Fagagum, the word I cannot say on the radio. F starts with an F and ends with an M. Fagagum. We'll be right back.
There may have never been a Roaring Twenties if not for John and Horace Dodge. And that roar has only gotten louder over time, thanks to the Dodge Challenger and Charger RT Scat Pack Editions. 6.4-liter Hemi V8, 485 horsepower, and 475 pound-feet of torque. That's some thunder. And if you listen closely, you can almost hear the Dodge brothers. It sounds like they're still having a pretty good time. Dodge, their spirit lives on. Dodge and Hemi are registered trademarks of FCA US LLC.
I know it. I'm a super freak.
Yes, you are.
And they've asked me not to say the word again, Fagagum. But if you say it really fast, F-C-A-G-M, you cannot say that word on radio. It's like F-em. Anyway, Fagagum. All right, I said it one time. I know, I'm trying to just piss these guys off in the studio.
Let's let Jim talk. Our show brought to you in part by Catskin.
Love your vehicle, but don't love the cloth seats. Well, then Fagagum. Excellent. Interiors experience the durability and ease of cleanup by the new Fagagum's luxury interior, custom leather interior. Stop. He's snapping at BJ saying, stop laughing. Visit catskin.com. That's KATZKINFCAGM.com.
This is when Dick would be going, like Lurch.
Dick would be paying attention. He'd be reading his paper. Right,
true story, though. You can get beautiful leather interiors from Catskin.
We need to get back to Mr. Resnick and let him finish the story, please.
And thanks for the sponsorship from Catskin, of which we just lost.
That's true. We didn't lose.
Anyway, Jim Resnick is there. Not sure where he's from this week.
So, Jim, let's recap where you were. I'm not going to let
Autoblog. He was doing a story on Autoblog about Fagagum, and I'm just curious. So, what do you think, Jim, about if the two got together, GM and FCA?
I think there's very little in it in the deal for General Motors. I think the upside is entirely on FCA. And here's why I think this is happening now. They are very profitable right now. If you look at their not to be the only serious cat on this show. if you look at their profitability versus their volume right now, last year they were almost as profitable or almost as revenue rich as General Motors with half the volume in production. They produced 4.75 million vehicles and on $2.4 billion in revenue, whereas GM produced 9.9 million vehicles and saw $2.8 billion in revenue. So the financial picture, the financial health of FCA right now is very, very good. That is not going to last very long. So I think Sergio Marchionne, the chairman, president of FCA, needs to strike while the iron is hot. And the iron is hot right now.
But if she's already said we're not interested, why does he keep harping on it? Does he think she's really going to change her mind at some point?
I think he's trying to play to the investor base.
Board.
If he were a politician, he'd be playing to the base of whichever party he was affiliated with. In a very large way, with a publicly traded company, those are the people that really pull the power strings. The institutional investors in that company, and if they see this huge profitability picture, they're going to put pressure on the boards of directors of both companies to do this merger, because there's all this profitability to be had, or so FCA claims, or so Marchione claims.
I think Fiat Chrysler Motors would have been a better word, FCM.
So that's like all you got out of this.
Something
that
was
about.
More, yeah. Something that was more automotive.
You're missing it, like WTF. He got it, right? FCM.
So, if this all falls apart, let's say, Jim, does this mean the end of Marchione's reign at FCA?
I don't know. My crystal ball is not that far-reaching. But I will say that, years ago, I was at Mercedes-Benz USA from 1999 to 2005, and the Daimler-Chrysler merger was initiated in 1998. So I saw what happened with that whole ensemble from not exactly the front line, but pretty close to the front line.
Did you live through it? Was it a mess to deal with all that when you were an employee?
Yeah, I was an employee. I was in PR. It was for me and for the team that I was on in Montvale, New Jersey, at Mercedes-Benz headquarters. It wasn't that huge of a mess. In fact, we actually in PR and within Chrysler PR, we worked together very, very well. I don't know if you remember this, but the former head of Mercedes-Benz PR, Steve Rossi, became the head of corporate communications for all of Daimler Chrysler based in Detroit.
Yeah, I remember that.
And it was
what happened to him, by the way? Where is he now?
I believe he's at Honeywell in Connecticut.
Oh boy. Anyway, again, the what do they call it? Musical chairs of this industry is very. It's fun to watch, and it's in every industry. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
We just happen to be in the car industry, so.
I think the other problem at FCA is that they've got a lot of programs and vehicle programs that are long on the tooth, and they've had to pick what they're going to promote, which is Maserati and Fiat right now. In the meantime, we know Chrysler 300's been out there for 8 years, And so when you start to say, well, they know they're at their height now, but things are going to change. Is that part of the reason that you think it's going to change?
Yeah, they are. If from that perspective, if you look at where FCA is right now, it's a very similar position to where the former Chrysler Corporation was in 1997 when they started talking to Daimler-Benz. They were very profitable. Minivans were selling like hotcakes. Some of their SUVs did very, very well. Jeep was doing very, very well. But they had not invested enough resources to future product. The future product plan back then in 1997, 1998, their 5-year, 10-year plan was non-compos mentis.
So are you okay with me joking around a little bit on the show like this with you?
Stop
with me.
Stop it.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Only if it's funny.
Okay, just check
it. It never is. So
we asked Kara at the network, and I said, "Did you think that was funny?" And she goes, "Do you want me to tell you the truth?" I was like, "Oh no!" Oh, well, she just cut. We went off the air, didn't we?
No.
Doggone it! I'm joking.
You sound like Marge Simpson there.
I know. Actually, she's a very cute girl. Anyway, Jim. So this whole story is on Autoblog. Is that correct that you wrote? This is your first story with them?
Correct, yes.
Okay. And then if you
Googled Autoblog and my last name, Resnick, you'll find it. But the title of the story is Auto Mergers and Acquisitions, Suicide or Salvation.
Yeah, exactly.
Good title.
Who is more profitable between GM and FCA? Good question.
I have those numbers somewhere, but the numbers that come up are the revenue numbers from this story, because that's what I was looking at.
No, I know. I just was wondering, because it's like my dad used to say to me, I'd say, "Dad, we've got her up to a couple $1 million in this, that, and the other." But how much money are you making?
Yeah.
All those revenue numbers and everything, but how much money are you making? Right?
Right.
So that's
this is why analysts spend 24 hours a day poring over numbers and have no life.
Right.
They look over all these numbers, profitability, and revenue and you know, thousands of other statistics that they have to glean from company reports.
Sure.
Let me ask you something. I did a little of that in preparation for this article. But you're right. The profitability is really at the end what matters. Revenue and profitability and EBITDA.
Oh, another word. Another word I can use. What do you have for breakfast? I haven't EBITDA yet. But I'll be EBITDA in just a little bit. You want to join me for breakfast? We're going to have some frigagum. Jim, thank you very much. Autoblog.com. And you can, or Google Jim Resnick, handsome man, big handlebar mustache. You'll know it when you see him. Jim, thank you, brother. We'll take a little
break.
Thanks,
guys.
Be good, brother. Be good out there.
Bye.
He's an awesome journalist and photographer. And again, handsome man. We'll be right back. That don't impress me much. On the track, even 1/100th of a second decides who wins and who loses. That's why Bridgestone uses advanced racing technology to create their fastest street legal replacement tire yet. The new Bridgestone Potenza RE71R. Engineered with an innovative hydro evacuation surface and unique tread compounds, the new Potenza RE71R is designed to give you maximum grip and ultimate cornering on or off the track. Bridgestone is changing the game in tire performance. Let me apologize on air for what you've been hearing. Yes, I'm sorry. I've been told off by the crew here. I'm taking it too far with Fagagum. That's funny, FCA GM. Come on, say it fast. Say it fast.
What if it was the other way around? GM FCA. How would you pronounce that?
Jim Fick.
Yeah, either way, it doesn't matter.
What I would like is some of the cars. It's like when you go to Canada and you have, you know, you used to find the Ford Granada Falcon.
Yeah.
And they mix all the names
up. So what would it be?
Well, you would have the
Chevy
Ram Cobalt.
Chevy Spark Hellcat.
Yeah, it would be.
Speaking of the Hellcat,
I would hate to see all those brands come together because I love different brands and different personalities. Yeah. And all of a sudden, you start seeing the same power window switches in your Ram.
My personality,
the Malibu 200.
No, Sybil, I don't.
The Malibu 200. The Corvette 300.
It wouldn't work.
All right, so speaking of the Hellcat, you guys both somehow got your hands on the keys, the red key of a Hellcat.
Yes.
Was it a Challenger, Charger?
Mine was a Challenger.
What color was it?
It was silver, I think.
Okay, rubber shows up good on the back of a silver car.
It was a bit titanium.
Oh, boy.
Are we getting
picky? It was a dirty silver. It was a dark silver.
Okay, are we going to get ugly about this?
Yeah, could you find it, please? Let's check on it.
Let's get ugly about this.
Let's be clear. BJ had this car as her tester.
Billet silver metallic clear coat.
Billet.
Like I said.
Thanks for playing.
Yeah, exactly.
And the word silver is in here.
Yeah.
That usually means it's a silver color.
I didn't see titanium in there anyway.
Billet!
The only thing titanium you need is a screw in your head to tighten up that clamp.
By the way, billet is not a color.
Let's be clear that BJ had this car as her tester. And was nice enough to give me a ride.
And then when he brought it back, it was leaking
some fluid.
Yeah, we brought it back, and Josh, just by virtue of being in the car, broke it. So, no, I'm kidding. He didn't break it. It just, you know, when you have high-performance cars, you really have to pay attention to everything. And I guess it was in for service at some point, and the people who serviced it forgot to put the hose clamps on. So
tight.
Yes. So there was a little bit of... coolant leakage, so not a problem from the car or anything like that.
No,
a maintenance thing that people tend to forget.
Human error.
And the truth is, it's not just this car. That happens a lot, actually, because you have to tighten it to a certain specification. If you don't, things happen.
How many people at the table have had a hose clamp come off and an engine blow up?
Pretty much it. Oh, not an engine.
Not an engine blow up.
Yeah. That's why you have to be careful about these things.
The oil cooler line, get this, they put a new oil cooler on, and they forgot to tighten up the hose clamp.
Yeah, what's your job, by the way?
Well, you know, you look at racing, and you can destroy a car because you didn't tighten the lug nut all the way, you know? So it's the details you've got to pay attention to.
So this is a very nice car. It's,
we changed your mind, didn't we? You were a little on the fence about this.
I was, and I have to say that the setup, the transmission, the way the car reacts, I think what I'm most impressed with...
Automatic transmission.
Yes, paddles. What I'm most impressed with is driving the car slow. It's a very nice car. You can drive it. It's very well set up.
You can be an everyday driver.
Well balanced.
You can drive it, huh?
You can.
Okay.
Now, when you get on it, it's just beyond what you thought it was going to be.
At that point, you can't drive it anymore.
You're like,
I get it. I get it.
You know,
because you're just holding on for dear life.
You get in this car, and you know, I've been around cars for 30 years. You get in it, and you start to drive, and you think...
Before that was a horse and buggy?
Yes, it was. Shut up. You think, I'm over my head. This car is too much car for me. You know, I don't know what I'm doing. But then the more you drive it, the realize, okay, I can drive this vehicle because they make it so you are not terrified to be in it because, well, as long as you don't put it in track mode on the street because you can have so many different setups for this vehicle.
It's a well-balanced vehicle.
It's extremely well-balanced. There's room. The trunk is huge, you know.
I relate this to cars who don't feel that way, and there have been certain Corvettes along the way. You get in the car and you... Like, you step down on the gas, like... and you can't, you know, you sort of can't make that car work
for you. You can't finesse it. Is that
right? The only thing I will say one thing that I didn't like is that I did not like the thick steering wheel.
Yeah.
It was too thick.
Yeah.
All right, so what happened was after you guys have talked about what you feel about the car, we asked the car what it feels about you. First thing it says, oh, here comes that jerk Josh. And then, of course, it peed a little bit when you dropped it back off.
The car liked it.
The car liked me, actually.
We liked the car.
I don't think so. That's what that puddle was, a little puddle of pink stuff.
I mean, we had a nice conversation. We went through the seats and the dash, and we really had a thoughtful conversation.
The car says, get the hell out of me! And it's like, get out of here!
Are you laughing? Are you laughing at this?
Let's talk more about this on the other side, because the Hellcat is an important vehicle for FCA.
He's talking to the producer over here, Jared.
I think that we...
I think we turn his mic off, because we'll take a break.
Ready to become an entrepreneur and purchase a business, but need funding? Sure, you can ask Dad, Aunt Betty, or friends for money, or you can turn to a company that has helped more than 10,000 entrepreneurs successfully launch their dreams of business ownership, Benetrends Financial. Through Benetrends' proven and innovative funding strategies, entrepreneurs like you get the funding you need quickly, safely, and economically. Get started today. Call 866-423-6387 or visit Benetrends.com. That's BENETRENDS.com. Benetrends.
All right, is he waiting?
No, it's Tango!
Wait, no,
3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Welcome back. Oh, wow. Oh, I'm not supposed to talk for like 10 seconds, so I just blew that. Sorry about that, everybody. You're listening to The Drive. Today I've had, once again, Starbucks with too many shots.
Obviously.
That is what happens.
Yes.
It's like crack cocaine to me, not that I've ever had crack cocaine.
This is your fault.
I've never had any drug actually to speak of other than...
I actually put crack cocaine on top of the shots.
I did have Novocaine once with a cavity.
Would you give him an edible or something?
I did.
But Josh gave me a moon pie also, and I think the combination of moon pie and Starbucks has turned me into a crackhead.
All right, let's go back to the Hellcat.
Can I do a little sponsor note here? Our show brought to you in part by Barrett Jackson, the world's greatest collector car auction and exhibition, BarrettJackson.com. Next one coming up at the Mandalay Bay on the 24th through the 26th of September, starting at 9 o'clock, Josh, in case you want to know. And... because he always goes, when does it start?
See, now you accuse me of yelling into the mic, number one.
You've been very cordial.
Did you notice how I yelled away from the mic so they only heard the echo? That's how you do it.
No,
you got to yell over here like this.
We actually heard it.
You're making the board up crazy.
Kara over at the network yells at us a little bit. I apologize. Anyway, we're talking about
talking
the Hellcat.
About the Hellcat.
We're talking about the Hellcat.
Don't you start yawning at me.
I'm not yawning. I was just trying to breathe in some air.
Just because you had a giant lobster last night that was supposed to be mine, and your husband's home sick because he ate mine, served you both right. Too much butter.
What you've got coming is the Charger version of the Hellcat.
Yes, yes.
Am I saying that correctly? I guess
no,
we are.
No, you're just saying the Charger Hellcat. Is
yeah, Charger Hellcat is. Coming.
Same engine, yeah. Right? It's the big Hemi engine in there, and the 707 horsepower. Or valet mode for 500 horsepower.
Right.
And it's the four-door. So it's the family sedan.
Well, I kind of think that becomes really interesting because it's a bigger car. You know? And I think that it's going to feel really different. But now that I know what that motor feels like,
it's amazing.
Well, you know, I have driven the Charger when we went and did the intro back east.
Right.
I didn't get time in the Challenger because there were so many journalists and only so much time in the car, and it was raining on the track. So I got in the Charger because that was the newer version of it. So I wanted to see what that. And it's to me, it's just as much fun.
Yeah.
But you have the capability of being able to take people too because it's as drivable day to day. It has all the things. You can go out to the track and throw it around if you want to in track mode. And by the way, we tried all the modes on the freeway, and it was really cool because the minute you change into track mode, you can when you romp on the throttle, the shifts are just quick, and it's a very good transmission. On
eighth
this
of a
vehicle.
Second.
I
by
have
the
to
way,
say, I was impressed by the transmission.
Yeah.
By the way, they're selling them, and you know these cars are not cheap. They're like $70,000.
This one was $65,000 out the door, $58,000 base price.
Try and buy one,
but you
for
can't.
That,
you're right,
but really,
yeah, because they're
seems,
limited number.
If you're going to talk, you talk into the microphone.
That seems really cheap for.
It,
what you're
it's
getting.
A great price.
I mean, it's
it
unbelievable.
Really is.
Here's what happens, though. I want you to know. This is what it sounds
is.
Like. You get in the car and you go, all right, push the button, and this is what it sounds like.
All right, it's the Wango Zitango.
That's exactly what you get. That's how it sounds.
I would sell
that's
the it. Car immediately if it sounded anything
okay.
like that.
Because that's what you want to do. You want to go Wango
I love that they did it. I love that Chrysler had the guts to bring these cars out.
Have you guys heard that they're going to put that engine in a Jeep? Grand Cherokee.
Well, there is an SRT.
I know, but they're talking about putting the Hellcat motor in it.
Well, they might. Who cares?
I can see that.
I can see it too.
Oh,
you know,
my
it's an amazing engine.
Yeah.
It's a great generator of excitement for them.
Yeah.
For the brand because it's much talked about. Everybody who's driven a Hellcat absolutely loves it because it's an amazing vehicle, and they're putting them in quality vehicles as well. So
I thought
it's just
I was
great all the way around.
Scared of this car with that much.
That's what I was saying.
Come
you,
on, why
but you
are
do
both
because
you
get in
that,
at first
like,
and
wait a minute. You said that too. You weren't sure what you were going to think.
Name
you
another
drove
700 horsepower.
I never said I was
going to
be scared of it.
Name another production 707 horsepower vehicle out there
that you can afford to buy. Oh, you can't afford to buy anything. That's right.
That's what I'm saying. So
I mean, but we could go to companies like Roush and across
yes,
the street.
Yes, you could.
There's
but we're talking about OEM production on the showroom floor.
There aren't.
But you know, it's a little scary when you first get in it because you think it's too much, but then you realize you can drive it.
But here's the thing. I wasn't really scared of the car. I was scared of my own foot because I have alien foot.
All right.
And it's not a good thing. Alien foot.
Funny, there's only one person laughing. Notice about
it's Alan.
Oh my God!
I am funny. You guys, shut up. You know I'm funny. Good Lord. Do I have to tell you I'm funny? Yes.
Yeah, that's one of the problems. We were in a meeting yesterday, and Alan says, and he's Josh is a pretty funny guy. Yeah. And it's like you're sitting there with people. It's like, okay, monkey, go ahead, make me laugh.
We'll be back.
It's the worst thing you can say.
Yeah, Dave Butchko wants to show
funny
up.
Guy.
After this, see you in a bit.
Hi, Shell Experts here with a suggestion for anyone with a vehicle that can benefit from using premium fuel.
Yeah, make nitrogen-enriched Shell V-Power premium gasoline standard equipment on your vehicle.
It's our most advanced fuel ever, providing maximum protection for optimum performance.
It cleans up gunk faster than our regular grades because it has 5 times the cleaning agents required by government standards.
Then it acts as a barrier that shields and protects intake valves and fuel injectors against gunk.
Oh yeah, you wouldn't make high performance optional on your vehicle, so demand more from your fuel. Get the most out of every drop with Shell V-Power.
Auto News exclusive. exclusive interviews, real-world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Good morning, crowd. Thank you for joining us. I've been warned that I must be a much more docile human being, so I shall do the show a little differently. Good morning, B.J. Colleen. How are you today, ma'am, lady, my friend?
I am awake, but I am very confused.
Chris Duke's on the line. Hey, Chris, what's going on?
Hey, Alan, how you guys doing today?
You missed 2 hours of insanity.
I did. Sounds like it.
Yeah, I was told to calm down, get myself in control.
It's been crazy.
So how is that any different from any other week, though?
I've decided to be Buddy Love. You know who Buddy Love is, by the way?
Yes, I do.
I know.
Good morning, Chris. How are you?
Hey, Josh.
Who's Buddy Love?
Hey, Josh and BJ.
Buddy Love is from a movie with
Jerry Lewis?
Eddie Murphy.
Oh. Jerry Lewis.
Yeah. Oh,
the Nutty
go.
Professor.
The Nutty Professor.
See,
thank
I knew
you.
That. I said I didn't, but I did. Wow.
Josh Hancock's here in the house. BJ Colleen. Chris Duke from Motors TV.
Yeah.
I'm Alan Taylor. I will be much more under control this hour.
You will not. Stop lying.
If you want to find out why I'm having to act this way, then you have to listen to the podcast next week, and you'll find
look
out.
No
we're waiting for a guest.
Look no further than a moon pie for your actions.
Where's our guest?
What happened is Josh gave me cocaine-laced moon pie this morning. And
so, Mr. Duke, you've been driving some Chrysler products, too.
Oh, he just cut you off.
I like it.
Well, it has
Thank
to
you,
do
Josh.
With cars. tell us about that.
Well, this is the Charger Scat Pack, and so I drove the Charger SRT 392 back in January. So this seems to be the vehicle that I drive to all Barrett Jackson events, evidently, because I drove the Charger SRT back in January to Scottsdale for 1,000 miles, and then I got the Scat Pack to go to Barrett Jackson Hot August Nights in Reno. Last month, was it? Yeah,
wait,
August.
Are you telling me you're going to be coming out to Hot August Nights? To Barrett Jackson on the 24th through the 26th? Is that what you're saying?
If I can get another charger.
Oh, I see.
But, you don't own a car? What?
No. It has to be a charger.
Something fun to drive, man.
Yeah, it has to be a Dodge Charger. But no, this is this was the cheaper version of the 392. Of course, you've got the Scat Pack, and you've got the SRT 392, and then you've got the Hellcat. So this is the same engine that's in all three. Of course, the Hellcat is supercharged to the hilt there. But, if you're looking for a more budget-minded vehicle and save, $7,000 or so, you can get the Scat Pack, which has all the features. It just doesn't have, the leather interior, HID headlights. It's got downgraded Brembo brakes and tires and things like that. But it's still...
How many horsepower?
It's the same 45 horse, 475 foot-pounds of torque as the Scat Pack, as the SRT. So, it's just like the cheaper version of it, but you still get the same, gas mileage, the same look, same interior, pretty much, except for the leather.
Well, at this point, you really should buy one because you like it so much. You've driven them. Why don't you get one?
Well, we all want one.
I'd like the Challenger.
Ah.
I like the Challenger.
Ah. So what were we talking about? What's the other one?
Alan was playing Candy Crush.
I was playing Candy Crush. Do me a favor. Tell me again. Which one did you like better, though? That's what I want to know, because you were just talked about 9 cars.
Oh, well, nine cars. Well, as far as the Charger is concerned, I like the two that I drove, the SRT 392, because it's got all the upgrades, of course.
So the four-door,
but if I was to buy one, I would get the Challenger, because I like the classic muscle car two-door look.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Well, they just made an announcement about their police units, and because they're trying really hard to they've had some problems with their police units. They're a little small, but they've custom tailored a new dash, and they've put a large screen. It looks like a Tesla screen.
Yeah, it's like 12.4
inches.
So that
the officers don't have to have a separate computer and take up the space in the car,
because
that's the biggest problem with the Charger is space, and that's why they love the Explorer based Interceptor, because it's got a lot of space in it, and they're doing away with the
what is their SUV? I want to say Dakota, but that is incorrect.
No, Durango.
That's their track. Durango,
yes.
Which would have been a good police unit,
yeah,
but
it would
have
been.
They're going to stop building the,
right,
the
right,
truck, which
right.
is too bad. And of course, what's in their favor with the Charger is it's a rear-wheel drive vehicle from the start.
Right.
Even though they are making it all-wheel drive to compete with both the Taurus-based and Explorer-based Interceptors, which both come standard equipment with all-wheel drive, which is kind of interesting. But it's how they manage the power and help in handling.
All right, let me take a break. I'm playing
Josh.
Candy Crush. Will you knock it off?
Yeah, Angry Birds.
He's on level 2.
Actually, I'm reading this story in Jalopnik about here's why car TV shows suck if you love cars. They're talking about Fast and Loud, Richard Rollins, who's an old friend of mine. Very interesting story. Check it out. It's on Jalopnik. Because Chris and I do a TV show, Motors TV, and he actually works on cars. So we'll be right back. No, it doesn't suck. Of course not. We'll be right back. Barrett Jackson, the world's greatest collector car auction, returns to Las Vegas, Nevada, September 24th through the 26th. Hundreds of the most sought-after, unique, and valuable automobiles will once again cross the auction block. Be part of the three-day lifestyle event and energy that is Barrett Jackson, and the only way you're going to know is to show up. It's coming soon to the Mandalay Bay Event Center in Las Vegas, Nevada. Don't forget, tickets are available at BarrettJackson.com. That's BarrettJackson.com. This is a warning for all people listening to this show. Danger, danger, humor, and psychological nudity. I know, it's kind of crazy. It's a morning madhouse here on the drive, talking about cars and fun stuff, living life in the fast lane, in a slick black Cadillac. That is what this song is called by Quiet Riot. Josh Hancock is here, BJ Colleen, Chris Duke, and producer... No name producer.
Great, thanks.
No name producer.
No name.
Producer Jay.
No name.
Our
no
show
name.
Brought to you in part by Covercraft, celebrating
Hello,
50 years. Turn your microphone off.
Yeah, I'll take a call right now.
Call her, Jared.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Wait
he literally
a
is being a producer
that,
on the air.
That was an Alan Mini-Me moment.
Yeah.
Oh, Covercraft celebrating
Where
50 years.
Where did you see the ad about the car?
I'll try this again. Covercraft has been manufacturing premium quality car covers. Listen to our monthly giveaway. We did it last week or the week before. When did we do it? The week before last? We gave away Dick Messer's car cover, didn't we?
Ago. Yes.
Was it, he used it a couple times, so we actually gave away a used car cover.
No, you didn't.
I'm joking. Covercraft does a giveaway once a month on this show with trivia, which is fun. And you can find out more at covercraft.com. And I understand, Chris, you're going to have the Motors Jeep
Covercraft.
In their booth at SEMA.
Yes.
Are you giving one away today?
Not today. Not today.
The Jeep.
Ooh.
I'll talk to Brian. We'll see if we can.
Not the
away.
Jeep, a Covercraft car cover.
Anyway. Yeah. So this year at the 2015 SEMA show, it is going. Our 2014 Jeep Wrangler is going to be in the Covercraft booth, which is booth number 23243. For all you people that are going, and will remember that.
That's right. 242 what?
23243.
I can't even remember which hotel I'm at.
Committed.
Which bus would you like to get on, sir?
You know
I don't know. It's a big place with a lot of lights.
You know what?
It's
what
Central
it sounds
Hall.
Like when you get gonorrhea, everybody, right there.
It's Central Hall. Just go. Anyway, our Jeep will be there.
Central
and thank
Hall.
You to Covercraft for hooking us up.
That's right.
That's
yeah,
all.
Look for a Jeep.
There's a Jeep.
There's only 1,483
vehicles.
It's
best
the
Jeep.
Jeep with the cover.
This is the best Jeep. It's the best red Jeep with glowy eyes.
It's the best red Jeep, yeah.
I like to find a Jeep with a red face.
Yeah. Again, gonorrhea does affect the brain, and Josh, sadly. Anyway, no, I'm bringing both your mics down so we don't
so
talk over.
Thank you. Thank you. Oh my God.
Anyway, yes, Hi. Covercraft, yeah. we appreciate the sponsorship of the show, and we know that they have a great sense of humor because they have to be on this
otherwise
show.
They wouldn't be playing with us.
The other sponsors we work with, by the way, I call it a sense of tumor because it's got to be
a sense of tumor.
What?
Okay, I'm going to say this is going in the wrong direction.
So, Josh, the question
yes,
is,
sir.
You're driving your T-Bird, right?
I am today.
Can I ask you a question about the T-Bird?
I just got out of the Lincoln MKZ.
Can I ask you a question about the T-Bird?
2002.
My dad has a 2003. He ran into a pole the other day. He's 87. Give him a break, right?
A pole? I thought this happened a long time ago.
His first pole. This was another pole.
No. He ran into a trailer hitch.
Time to stop driving then.
He's 87. He shouldn't be driving. There's no question. But I get all the cars after he wrecks them.
This is why Alan, go ahead, Dad.
Yeah.
Plus, he charges them to fix them.
Yeah, I used to have a body shop, so he can wreck them all he wants.
It's amazing. You give your dad a discount or what? You give him a discount?
No, I usually just fix them
for
him.
You know, Dad, this is going to be pretty expensive this time.
Give me your credit card.
Do you think these cars are holding their value still? Because I saw one the
other
day.
Yeah, I watch them.
What's a 2003 with 28,000 miles worth that's been wrecked six times? It doesn't matter. It's been wrecked a few times. It looks beautiful, though. Nobody knows the difference.
Is there a Hail Mary stuck to the dash and a rosary?
No, it actually got busted off when the airbag popped.
Retail, the car's retailing right in the low 20s.
Is that
really?
What it is?
Really? With that many miles on it?
Yeah.
Been wrecked
with 28,000 miles?
All right, fair enough.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break. We've got a guest coming in. It's like a spider. He just came into the web. We're going to roll him up and then suck the juice out of his brain about BMW coming up next. Dave Butchko with a BMW M shirt on. My son went to their high-performance driving school, which is coming out on the very next Motors TV, the test and the driving school at the BMW Teen Performance Driving School. You're listening to The Drive. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Introducing the newest addition to the Craftsman C3 lineup, the C3 19.2-volt brushless drill driver. A brushless motor means you get 50% more runtime, 30% more power, and a motor life 10 times longer than the traditional brush motor drills. With up to 600 inch-pounds of torque, LED integrated lights, and a Jacobs metal ratcheting chuck to lock bits solidly in place, you'll get even your most difficult projects done fast. Available at Craftsman.com, Sears.com, Sears, Sears Hometown, and Sears Hardware Stores. Craftsman, made to make.
I'm waiting. Wait now. Hold on, because you're going to hear under pressure. I am under a lot of pressure. Under pressure! Oh, no, that's not it. That was me. All right. Different version of the song. Never mind. You're listening to The Drive. Yes, it is the Morning Madhouse here. And I'm Alan Taylor. I know, because that's where the lawsuits come. I'm a little bit like Trump every now and then. I just insult everybody, and I just get away with it. I don't know how it happens. But look, even the guy's running for president, he's getting away with it. BJ Colleen is here. You want to make the disclosure now?
Oh, then none of us are responsible for anything you say or do today, tomorrow, or any time in your life. So we don't want to be part of your lawsuits.
Chris Duke is on the line, by the way. Dave Butchko is here from BMW. That's what he looks like, Dave, just so you know.
On a good day.
Thank you.
Josh Hancock is also here. Dave is with BMW, and my son and I my son is going to be 16 on October 11th, which happens to be his grandfather, who has passed away, his grandfather's birthday. And after the grandfather passed away, the next baby that was born, purely by coincidence, was this one, Christian, who was born on the stroke of midnight on her father's birthday, which was a beautiful thing. I was there because I was there all the children's birth, my kids' births. At 15 seconds after midnight, this little baby was born on her dad's birthday. So it was a beautiful thing. And you got to meet Christian, and your daughter was also there.
Yeah, my daughter was there.
How old is she?
She's 17.
What was that noise in the background here at Galpin Autosports? Wow, yeah. Anyway, so our kids got to do this driving school together. And I got to tell you, thank you. Because it was awesome, and my son, who I have to drive with him, or my wife, drive with him, because until he gets his driver's license on the stroke of midnight on his 16th birthday, he's already bought and sold five cars, by the way.
Oh, really? Well, thank you for that.
Five cars. He'll go on Craigslist and you know, find something, and Dad, I got to come and go look at this, and I'm like, sure. You know, I really want this car, you know, and then like 2 weeks later,
that's how it starts.
He goes, hey, Dad, I just sold the car. I'm like, how did you do that?
He doesn't even have his driver's license.
He doesn't have a driver's license. because he'll put it on Craigslist just to see. It's like fishing, right? You throw it out, see if there's any fish in the pond.
So he never registers it? Does he just hop the title over?
He's just absolutely like me. He's curbing cars. He's a beautiful thing.
Wait, Dave, I just want you to tell us about the driving school, because if he doesn't have a license yet, but he went to the driving school.
Yes, my daughter doesn't have a license yet either.
Yeah.
If you have if you're a teen and you have your permit, you can attend the school. It's all done on the grounds of the BMW Performance Center, either in South Carolina or the new one out here on the West Coast.
Is that open?
It is open and operational, absolutely.
Awesome. Yeah. And where is that one?
It is on the grounds of the Thermal Club.
Oh, out in Thermal Club. You don't want to do that in the summertime, then, because it's hot out there.
But trust me, South Carolina is not very hospitable in the summer either.
That's true. Much like humidity. That's true.
But thank you guys for telling the story, because really, I think that's what's key.
Do you want to see, by the way, our story?
No.
Did I tell you? Not right now. Watch it on Motors TV.
I think we've probably got something else going on just now, maybe later. We can watch
it. Okay. Thank you, Dave.
I can tee it up for you.
But the key is that Alan's son and my daughter took the two-day course, and they learned so much about just basic car control and how to handle things in certain situations. They take them up to speeds, over and above the national speed limits, and to do things like emergency braking and just getting a sense of just what that feels like, and they challenge them to go out of their comfort zone.
Yep.
They do things like a great exercise that they do with the kids, because all the instruction is done outside the car with walkie-talkies in the car. And you think, well, what can the instructors tell from outside the car? But I got to tell you, they're so good when they were doing the accident avoidance, the emergency lane change maneuver. And the instructor's outside the car, and she's saying, look, I watched where your eyes were. You were looking at the cone, and you hit the cone.
Yeah.
But what he's talking about is in driving schools, you learn things like you drive to what you're looking at. So guess what? Don't look at the wall.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's so funny is that when you go through it the first time, you think, this is silly. But then you realize what habit you have.
Right, exactly.
And if you're a good driver, you're already in the natural habit, but then you sharpen it even more.
And to that point, I learned something, and we talked about it on the show shortly thereafter, but it's worthy of talking about again for new audiences. I learned how to adjust my side view mirrors.
The mirrors, that's key.
Yeah.
And I was like, when the guy said it, it's like, wait a minute, because here's what it boils down to. How many of you guys listening out there, and raise your hands, of course you're not driving, don't raise your hand if you're driving, but how many of you adjust the mirror so you see half the side of your car in your rear view mirror?
That's amazing.
Seeing any of the car is the point.
I like to see just a tip of it, but I usually don't need to see it.
You're never going to get hit by the side of your own car.
Right, exactly. Exactly. And so you adjust them out further so you can see the cars in your other lane.
But I want to ask this question, because you know the statistic, I'm sure, and it is
probably
that
not, but I'll make something up.
Alan's trained you. With teen drivers, if they attend a school like this school, their chances of being involved in an accident in the first 5 years diminish greatly.
Well, they do. I mean, if those lessons get reinforced and they get out there on the road and start to put some of this into practice, but I mean, just in terms of awareness and awareness of certain things, like I said, they do stuff like with the walkie-talkies. They actually take the kids through a distraction exercise where
which I'll do with you right now.
Okay, there you go.
We'll talk more on the other side. Dave Butchko is here. He is from BMW. We went through the BMW teen driving school with our kids. So we got to see what comes out on the other side. A smarter driver and a smarter kid. We'll be right back.
If the measure of a car was how many people it turned into people who love cars, the Subaru Outback would be worth its weight in gold, thanks largely to its symmetrical all-wheel drive. Unlike other systems that wait for a wheel to slip, it powers all four wheels all the time, all while with better fuel economy than midsize SUVs. And the fact that the Outback is made in a zero landfill plant doesn't hurt either. It's a car that is truly built to be loved. Love! It's what makes a Subaru a Subaru.
I believe our show is brought to you in part by Dodge, Born Dodge. Sorry, Dave.
That's okay.
Dave is here from BMW. It's all good. I mean, look at it. We weren't here.
I'm okay with Mopars. I mean,
you wouldn't be on 100 radio stations right now.
There you go.
Thanks to all those radio stations for taking our debauchery. We try and have fun and make sure that people can laugh and chuckle and say what, you know, what they want about us behind our backs. And it's okay. We're okay with that. You can also send us an email if you knew the email address. But anyway, Dave Butchko is here from BMW, and we did drive together. Our kids actually were together with our kids when they were at the BMW driving school, of which, Dave, you put that together so that a bunch of journalists could bring their kids in, because there was a bunch of us there from the automotive industry.
Right. Well, we've been doing the schools for now for quite some time, but I mean, I think we've had journalists come to various schools, but I think when you go, and the thing that you guys got to do that most parents wouldn't get to do was to watch the kids go through the process.
Right.
And the practical reason that they don't typically let the parents watch the kids go through the process is just because that becomes a distraction.
Well, and it's tough on the kids.
It's tough on the kids.
Well, and it becomes a little bit like a soccer game. Come on!
Well, that could happen.
Alan could be running out onto the track.
Well, and we had to train him a couple of times. You know,
okay, so. And I've about had it.
So the thing is, I think I was a little bit of a distraction to my son, but my son is this particular one. All my kids are, you know, they love cars because we're in the car industry.
Right.
But this particular one was so excited about this. And then I've got another one who's 19 who wants to go do another driving school that's like it's Bondurant. He wants to go to Bondurant because of the performance and the racing, and although BMW M driving school, right?
We have those too. Sure,
exactly. Yeah. But I believe that he is a better person on the other side, because on this journey of life, there's certain things that you have to understand, and responsibility behind the wheel is one of those big deals.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes you don't learn it till you've crashed or somebody's been hurt or you've been hurt.
Right.
So this gives them a chance to do things that they would normally not do unless they were already taking it beyond where they should and spinning out. And, you know, so now they get to spin out. They get to find out what it's like to, you know, do all the things that you guys put them through. Well, so thank you again.
I think that's the key, is that you're a parent, I'm a parent, and you can tell your kids till you're blue in the face. But it just, you know, in one ear, out the other. But but when they experience it firsthand, it's a very, very different thing. So, for example, you know, they have walkie-talkies in the cars that they talk to the kids and give them instruction and whatever. But one of the exercises they do is actually put the kids through a lane change with a water wall that they can throw up at any given moment without warning. And they make the kids hold the walkie-talkie, and then they engage the kids in conversation.
It's asking questions, right?
But the questions are interesting. They'll do things like, okay, you're holding the walkie-talkie and driving with one hand, and now spell mayonnaise. Or count backwards from 64 by threes.
I can't spell mayonnaise sitting here.
So the kids have to really think about what they're doing, and they've got the thing in their hand, and they're trying to talk.
And then a wall comes up
in front of them, and then when they go through the water wall, it's like, you see, now you weren't paying attention. You didn't have both hands on the wheel. You were engaged in a conversation, and that's why, you know, you can't, you know, that's why you shouldn't text and drive. That's why you shouldn't, you know, and they get to see, you know,
firsthand,
exactly right.
Because so, they think they're so good, it's never going to happen.
What you guys will see, of which I teed up and I'll show you in the commercial break, on Motors TV, and Chris Duke's on the other line here, our photographer who was there almost got hit by one of these kids, right?
Not paying attention.
To jump out of the way, because while that water wall came up, this girl just freaked out. And again, it's just water, and you hit the water, and it's no big deal.
But it's an unexpected occurrence.
Yeah, well,
she literally freaked out.
Back to the soccer game.
And almost ran off the course. So the guy jumps out of the way, and that's on Motors TV. That's in the piece. You'll see it.
Really? I want to address a misconception that a lot of people have.
Yeah,
because a lot of parents say to me, oh, I wouldn't send my child because if I send them to, and they sometimes say high performance driving school, you know, they're going to drive faster out on the streets.
Right.
And the answer to that really is they aren't.
Not necessarily.
Because they've seen that edge, they actually are more careful.
No, he's right.
Do you agree with
that?
Right. Well, I'm asking.
My other kids. I'm just telling you, I lived it. Okay, Josh?
Yeah, go ahead. No, I'm like, look. I mean, I was a teenage boy once, too. And mind you, that was a long, long time ago, but I still vaguely remember. And I was an idiot. And I wanted to drive as fast as I possibly could, you know. So, I mean, that kind of tendency, especially if you're a guy, because there's two things. You can't tell a guy what to do. One of them is drive.
Alan is a teenage boy now, so.
It's a matter of doing it safely is the bottom line.
So,
we're not encouraging folks to go faster than they feel comfortable doing, whatever. It's just about being more aware. having a sense of what the car will do. And the key thing is being able to experience things like accident avoidance or you know, putting the car into a skid situation on skid pads, whatever, before they have to know how to do it.
Right.
And you supply the vehicles, and what does it cost? And how do people sign up?
Well, if you go to BMWUSA.com, there's a section there on the website for the Performance Center that you can see those schools. And it's about, the two-day school is about $1,200. Yeah. Which sounds like a lot of money, but I got to tell you,
what is your kid's life worth?
Exactly right. Yeah. It's cheap insurance
about
in the grand scheme.
$1,400.
And,
well, so you got $200 in your pocket.
It's a bargain.
What they learn, and just the level of confidence that they get behind the wheel. And I think that's the thing that we saw was just by the time they were done, the level of confidence that all the kids, whether they were sort of confident or overconfident going in, like some of the guys were, or somewhat trepidatious, they come away feeling so much better about their experience behind the wheel.
Chris, what did you want to say there? I heard you talking in the background.
Oh, no, I was going to ask the same question about cost, but I know in the episode you mentioned where it's located, but for
South Carolina, that particular one.
That's a great facility, by the way.
Do you have other ones, or is that the only location?
Well, we have two locations now. We have the location outside of Spartanburg, South Carolina, which is right across the street from our plant. And then we've got one now operating here in Southern California on the property of the Thermal Club just outside of Palm Springs.
So, by the way, Ava is how old? 10? They have one for 11-year-old, right?
Yeah. No, not yet.
Have to have a driver's permit, at least.
I would opt for the South Carolina one because then you get to go to the BMW Museum, too. You get a chance to see the museum, and that's pretty cool down there also.
So. Well, you can do that, too. But the other thing I will put a quick plug in here for, too, is that there's something called the Tire Rack Street Survival School, which is done under the auspices of the BMW Car Club of America Foundation. And those they do around the country. And that's just, in parking lots, whatever, and it's a two-day thing that you can do that way as well. So, Street Survival School is also another way to go.
So, Chris, next time you and I do some stuff in a parking lot, we'll just give it a fancy name, and away we go.
Yeah, well, street survival is what's called riding with Alan.
I've heard that.
You're not one to talk.
It's become a really important thing for manufacturers, especially such as BMW that makes, high-performance automobiles, to have this arm going out, actually, to enhance your sales program.
Well, sure. I mean, it's all part and parcel. I mean, a good car, and then being able to, whoever you are, whatever age you are, whatever skill level you are, to be able to, enhance your skills and be able to get more out of the car and enjoy it and have a completely different sort of interaction with it is important.
We'll take a little break. You can find out again, BMWUSA.com.
You bet.
Dave Butchko is here, BJ, Josh, Chris Duke, and myself. Be right back with more of The Drive. Stay with us.
Are you ready to be your own boss but don't know where to begin? A franchise allows you to be in business for yourself but not by yourself. Find a franchise opportunity that's perfect for you on FranchiseExpo.com. Browse options, review investment requirements, and search by industry, brand, or location. You're guaranteed to find at least one franchise for sale that you'd love to own. Visit FranchiseExpo.com and make your dream of owning your own business a reality.
If you see a faded sign at the side of the road that says 15 miles to the...
Our show is brought to you in part by Subaru. Oh, sorry, David. Love, it's what makes a Subaru a Subaru. Dave Butchko is here.
Shout out to Michael McHale. That's fine.
We talked to Michael today.
He was
morning,
just on.
Oh, really? From Goodwood. He's
from London, yeah. Sounded like he was on the dark side of the moon, though, so we were like, we're done with you.
It sounded like he was in the toilet because there was probably no place else where it was quiet enough to hear.
Dave Butchko is here from BMW, again, on Motors on the next upcoming episode of Motors TV, MOTORZ. TV. You'll be able to see the BMW driving school. I took my son. You can see what my crazy son looks like and also learn a little bit yourself about something, because at the end of the day, we want you guys to learn while we learn when we go to these schools or go test drive cars or bolt things together like Chris does. He's on the line here, Chris Duke also. Chris, do you have any questions for Dave Butchko here?
No, I asked them, and I've seen the segment on motors, so I know everything about it.
Yeah, that's right. We've been bolting.
There you go. That was a really good answer.
You put him on the spot there. He wasn't ready for that.
So let me ask. I'll ask Dave to for Chris's sake, Chris, have you ever driven a late model new BMW like we drive?
No, I have not had that opportunity. But
he's a gearhead, by the way.
Really?
Yeah, and we've just got him starting to drive a couple of cars to where he goes from these. His world is SEMA, the specialty equipment market.
Okay,
and Motors TV is all about kind of personalizing your car.
Sure.
He and I grew up during the tool time, the home improvement. Yeah, and we both became friends with Tim Allen, and so his show started out 7 years ago about automotive improvement, right? Just like Tim did with the home improvement. So, you know, for him to drive some of these new cars is we laugh, BJ and Josh and I, because it's like, he's like, man, this thing, what are you driving right now, Chris? Perfect example.
Dodge Dart GT.
Right. And what did you say about it earlier, by the way? What was the actual term you gave?
Oh, it's a inline four, right? So it's a little four banger, but it's got huevos.
He says it's got huevos rancheros.
It's got huevos rancheros.
What did you say, Josh?
Si, senor.
I don't remember.
No, I remember. You said something about
chorizo.
Chorizo.
It's powered by chorizo or something.
So it's funny because, you know, the cars of 5-10 years ago versus the cars of today, the current cars, today's cars are literally like aircraft without wings. They're so amazing. That's the best way to say it.
People don't remember that when you used to be on the highway in a car and you'd go over 70, you'd be like, wow, I'm doing 80 in this car. Now, if a car doesn't do 80 or 90 comfortably, you're like, well, yeah, I mean, everything does 80 or 90 comfortably.
No, I get it. I mean, I'm a lifelong car nut, and I'm sadly old enough to remember cars of the 60s and 70s, and, you know, people often, you hear people saying, wow, they don't make them like that anymore, and I say, thank goodness.
Thank goodness is exactly
well,
right.
I'm so glad you said that.
Speaking of technology and things like that, you said that they're going to be introducing the new 7 Series in Frankfurt.
Yes.
And the 7 Series, if you haven't driven a 7 Series, you really are missing out, because when you want to talk about ultimate luxury, this is the vehicle you talk about. Is there anything that you can give us a little sneak peek on coming out on the 7 Series?
Oh, sure. I mean, we've shown pictures. And we've had some driving impressions. I mean, the 7 Series for us, that's a really competitive part of the market. You know, that large
high-end luxury
flagship.
These are over $100,000.
S-class.
Yeah. I mean, they don't start there, but right.
S-class, AA.
Right, exactly. Yeah. We're up against some impressive competition. Yeah. I mean, there are no two ways about it. The other thing about the 7 Series, though, is it like some of those other cars that you mentioned, it's sort of a technology forerunner for us.
It always has been.
So, sure.
So you guys are working with Toyota? Is that what you're saying? Forerunner?
Well, we are working with Toyota. That's a different
thing you can talk about in this car is probably gesture technology.
Right, right. And that's the next phase of control, you know, because, you know, we were on the forefront of a radical shift in how the driver interacts with their car with the first iteration of iDrive, which is now like 15 years old.
Wow. And
everybody else sort of followed, you know, that type of path. Mm-hmm. So our engineers were definitely onto something, and we've taken it to the next level now where we're actually introducing now gesture recognition.
Well, let me explain what that means for most, because Chris, you know how when you flip the guy off next to you and then you put the pedal to the metal, another turbocharger comes on, because when the middle finger comes up, it tells the car you got to get the hell out of there. Right? Is that right?
Gesture support.
Right. There was a better joke there you just missed.
Do you want to go ahead and tell what it really
is? It really is?
Yeah.
Well, there's a camera in the headliner of the car, so looking down sort of in the center console area. And so, for example, if you want to, and we're limiting the gestures that you can use at this point, so the engineers were very careful to ask, you know, what it should do initially as opposed to what it could do. Mm-hmm. And so if you reach over to the center part of the car, if you want to raise the volume on the sound system, you just reach over and twirl your finger clockwise.
In a circular motion.
Yeah, and if you want it to go down, you just twirl it counterclockwise and it goes down.
In the air.
Yeah, in the air.
Interesting.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and, you know, if you get a phone call and your phone's connected via Bluetooth and you want to take the call, you just point at the screen and you take the call. Mm. If you don't want to take the call, you know, if it's Alan calling, you just go swipe.
That's exactly what I would do. I would
hand,
be swiping
swipe the
all
hand.
Day.
It's basically like you're being at a blackjack table. That's really what it is.
Oh, boy.
Amazing.
All the good jokes. Anyway, the gesture control from the new BMW 7 Series. Again, the middle finger up means turbocharger on, windshield wipers on, oil slick out the back. Again, for $120,000, you can get which ejects a small hand grenade. There's some really cool things for those that have road rage. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Drive. Alan Taylor here, and I wanted to share the news with you about the new Haynes Manuals Online. They're the worldwide leader in vehicle repair information, and they now offer online manuals that are formatted to fit all electronic devices. With Haynes Manuals Online, you get all the trusted content of the Haynes printed manual, but with so many added features that help you get the job done right. I ordered one for my car and access it right through my tablet. There are now over 180 Haynes Manuals Online available covering cars, trucks, and motorcycles. You can order yours today at Haynes.com.
Hit it, Billy Gibbons. That's right. ZZ Top, Billy Gibbons. I did a show with him for a year. He's a big car guy, you know. He wrote a book called Rock and Roll Gearhead. Billy Gibbons.
And
our show, our show brought to you in part. That's right, you were there.
It was great fun. It was fun meeting him.
A show brought to you in part by Craftsman, America's most trusted tool brand, made to make. Also, thanks to our friends at Brembo. Brembo breaks the choice of champions. Chris Duke is on the line for Motors TV. The next episode coming out very shortly, probably next week, maybe sometime.
Yeah, hopefully.
As soon as we get it ready. It'll have the BMW Teen Driving School as part of it. Also, I test drove a Kawasaki Mule, a side-by-side all-terrain type vehicle. We'll tell you about that. Chris is going to do some more work on the Motors Jeep, some interior upgrades with our friends from Catskin. And then I think in the coming up episodes, you're going to do a supercharger on that Jeep, aren't you?
Yeah, that's the next one. I'm doing the scripting and voiceover for it now.
Fantastic, fantastic. Dave Butchko is here from BMW. We were talking about BMW, the new 7 Series, which I know you guys had some sort of a ride and drive, and the journalist that went there had nothing but amazing praise for this vehicle. Again, it starts around 60, 70?
No. The starting price for the 740i is 84.
Is it 84?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
and you can go all the way up to a buck and a quarter?
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
We're talking the
750 with the twin turbo V8, it starts at about 98 and goes up from there.
You doing the L version of that too?
Well, actually, in the United States, we're only going to sell the long wheelbase version because throughout history, you know, our sales in the United States have always been very highly weighted toward the long wheelbase car.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll take the big one.
Yeah, well,
that's what happens here.
People don't have issues with, you know, garage space. And,
no. Right.
Yeah. Well, I had one BMW 7 Series, and I got to tell you, it was a funny one. It was a... I was at a car wash one time. It's always a story with me. I know. I'm a storyteller. And I was sitting next to this old man. Josh, get him a Kleenex, man. And he was there, and I saw this beautiful white BMW. It was an 84 BMW 745. And
Turbo. The turbo, yeah. We didn't sell. We didn't officially import that car to the U.S.
Correct.
But, yeah,
he was an engineer.
Yeah.
And so I looked at that car, and man, it was like brand new. It had 45,000 or 40,000 original miles.
Mm-hmm.
And he was this old dude, and he was just sitting. We were talking, and I go, what is so special about that car? He goes, I bought it over in Germany and brought it over here. And anyway, I saw it about a year later again at the same car wash, and it was this time an older lady driving it. And I said, because I saw her get out of it. And I said, how's your husband doing? She says, I'm sorry to say he passed away. And I go, I'm so sorry. And she's telling me the story about what happened. And I said, and she says, and, you know, I'm washing his car because I'm going to put it up for sale. Anyway, I bought it right on the spot.
Oh, cool.
And love that car.
It was
Alpine, like, white.
Yeah,
with
Alpine
a,
white. Mm-hmm.
With a brownish, kind of a tobacco brown leather interior.
Sure, yeah.
And
then.
I kept it about 2 or 3 years. Loved that car. That particular body was kind of an odd body, but it was a turbocharged engine.
Yes.
Which you guys are now doing that.
So right.
To the question I have is turbochargers. People should not be afraid of them the way they were before with today's turbos.
Well,
right?
the challenge, you know, the car that you had, that car, one of the challenges with that car is it had a ton of power for the day. But But those cars had massive turbo lag. So, I mean, you stepped on the throttle you probably experienced, and you had 1,000, 2,000, 1,000.
For the day.
And it would take off.
Yeah.
And the fuel efficiency was just horrific.
Yeah. I really thought the moral of that was going to be watch the obituaries. That's where I thought he was going.
Hey, a lot of people do that for
collector cars,
you know.
I do know
they
that.
Do.
But now, you know, modern turbochargers, they're efficient.
No problems.
No turbo lag.
Everybody's in the turbocharger business.
You have to have everybody.
And with modern electronics, no issues.
Hard to find a manufacturer that doesn't make a turbo.
Speaking of superchargers, we were talking about Chris is going to put an aftermarket supercharger on the Motors Jeep for the Motors TV show. Why aren't you guys doing superchargers?
Just because I guess our engineers feel that turbos, by and large, are a better balance once you take everything into consideration in terms of fuel efficiency and configuration. You know, so for example, on our V8s, of a twin turbo V8, and the turbochargers are actually nestled in the top of the engine in the V of the V8, so that the exhaust manifold actually comes out the middle.
Here's a good question. Why is it that the Germans and the Americans, one is a suck and one is a blow, right?
I'm not going there.
Why do Americans like the blowers?
You're not going to suck me into that. I'm not going down that road.
All right, fair enough. Dave Butchko from BMW, thank you very much.
Yeah, a pleasure, as always.
Thing called love, right? BJ Colleen, carbuzzard.com, thank you. I love you.
Thank you.
I don't love Josh Hancock, and no thanks to you, brother. No, Jared, don't say a word to me. I don't want to hear from you. Chris Duke, thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. And then you'll be able to watch the next. Yes, thank you. The next episode of Motors TV will be this BMW Driving School. We'll let you know when it happens. I'm Alan Taylor. I apologize for the whole show this week. That's what I have to do. See you next week.
There may have never been a roaring 20s if not for John and Horace Dodge. And that roar has only gotten louder over time, thanks to the Dodge Challenger and Charger RT Scat Pack Editions. 6.4-liter Hemi V8, 485 horsepower, and 475 pound-feet of torque. That's some thunder. And if you listen closely, you can almost hear the Dodge brothers. It sounds like they're still having a pretty good time. Dodge, their spirit lives on. Dodge and Hemi are registered trademarks of FCA US LLC.